Okay, as with every year, the halacha remains that we're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. The metzius remains that Tisha B'Av is a day that most people probably learn more than they do the rest of the year. But holding a public shiur is a particular problem, even with Dvarim Harayim on Tisha B'Av. So the way we do this is not really in a sheer style, in the sense that it's not like sort of a prepared, approach with a particular point, but just to learn. I'm going to learn out loud, and anyone who wants to learn along as I learn out loud is welcome to do so. As we do each year, we're going to begin from the beginning of the Churban Agadata in Maseches Gittin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. If you have a Gemara with you, that's obviously easiest to follow along. It's the fourth wide line on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis is where the Churban Agadata starts. If you don't have a Gemara with you, you can probably follow anyway. It's mostly stories and just whatever points come to mind as we read through these tragic stories of the Churban. So we're going to begin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Maidichsiv, what's the pasuk referring to when it says, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, Umakshe Libo Yipol Bera'a, that Ashrei is a person who's always worried that his actions shouldn't lead him to stumble in the future. And someone who strengthens his heart and is not worried about what's going to be in the future, so it's going to... His lack of worry is going to cause that he's going to do terrible things. Meaning, people have to realize that our actions have repercussions. So what is that referring to? That pasuk is telling us that our actions have repercussions. Is referring, the Gemara assumes, Rabbi Yochanan assumes, is referring to something specific. It's not just a general statement that you have to think a couple of steps ahead of where you are, but it's referring to something specific. So the Gemara identifies, Rabbi Yochanan identifies three things that it's referring to. Number one, Akamtza Ubar Kamtza Chorav Yerushalayim. That because of the story that happened with Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed, and we're going to go through that story first. Then, a second story, Atarnagola V'Tarnagolasa Chorav Tor Malka. Because of a story that happened with a Tarnagol and a Tarnagolas, the city of Tor Malka, Haramelech, was destroyed, and we'll go through that story on Nunzayin Amar Aleph if we get to it. Experience says that we don't, but we'll see. Every year I keep thinking maybe I should mark off what we got to last year and start from there to the next year, but then I always say to myself, no, next year we're going to be learning in Yanim of Geula, not in Yanim of Churban. But here we are. And Asaka Derispak Charuv Beitar, because of a wall of a chariot and a story that happened with the wall of a chariot for women, the city of Beitar was destroyed, and that also will be explained ahead on Daf Nun Zayin. Rav Asher Weiss handed me this year a small kuntras of shir that he gave on the Agadita of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, and he discusses this opening line of the whole Agadita. This opening line that it relates to this pasuk Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid Umakshe Libo Yipol Bera'a, that luchara. When you learn the sugya, at first, it seems very interesting what Chazal are really doing over here, because, you know, when you think about other terrible things that have happened to the Jewish people, why did we have the Holocaust? Right? So you cannot answer that question at all, but if you're going to try to answer that question, anyone who ever tries to answer that question, the word Nazi is going to be in there somewhere. The Holocaust happened because there were horrible, horrible people who did horrific things that are unimaginable. And these were the Nazis, and there are still Nazis being brought up on war crimes, 90-year-old Nazis being brought up on war crimes today in Germany. And you're going to talk about the evil people that perpetrated these terrible things. So you'd imagine, we would talk, you know, the Gemara should start the Churban Agadita by talking about the Romans, by talking about the Babylonians, by talking about all the people who did terrible things to Klal Yisrael. It's not really the focus. We talk about ourselves, Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, and we'll see these other Maiselach. they're not really about the Romans. They're about us. They're about things that we've done wrong. And you see from here that that's the way a Jew looks at tragedy. Whoever it is that's perpetrating the terrible things, they're going to get theirs. They're going to get their punishment in this world or the next world, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu has in store for them. But they're not the reason that it happens. We're in control of our own destiny. The Rambam famously writes in the fifth parak of Hilchos Taaniyos that there are certain days shekol Yisrael nis'anim behem mipnei atzoros she'iru behem. There are certain days that all of the Jewish people fast because of the terrible things that happened. Why? Kidei la'orer halavavos luftach darkei atshuva. The fasting is about inspiring us to do tshuva. V'yaz azichron lema'aseinu hara'im. Not so that we could remember the terrible people that did terrible things. To remember what we did, our shortcomings, the averus that our forefathers committed that we haven't corrected yet. And that's what caused us and it's what caused them all these tzaros. Shebizikaron devarim elu nashuv lehetiv, the Rambam says. You remember such things, and then it will lead a person to do better. That's a key line. We remember what we've done wrong. We think about how we can improve, and that will get us where we need to go. All of the focus on how terrible our enemies are is not going to get us where we need to be. As terrible as they are. Rav Asher explains a Gemara that, again, we probably won't get to. And again, I forgot to mention, I should mention every year that there is no specific time that this learning session ends. It's basically when I get tired. So everyone should feel free to leave whenever. I promise I don't even notice. Usually I get up at whenever I get up, and you know it's me and a couple of guys left. I think one year there was nobody, but that's fine too. So Rav Asher explains the Gemara in Gittin in Daf Nun Ches. The Gemara tells us, might as well say it now, that there was a mice of Rabbi Shua ben Hananya that went to a krach gadol sheberomi, went to a large city in Rome. And they said that there's a certain tinok, there's a certain young boy who's locked in jail. And he's a very good-looking child. He had curly payas. I don't know if it means that, but we'll go with that for now. So halach va'amad al pesach beis ha'asurim. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya stood by the doorway to the prison. Amar mi yitein l'mashisa Yaakov Yisrael levozazim. Said, what happened? What happened to the Jewish people? The Tinok heard Rabbi Shimon ben Hananya saying that question, that pasuk. Ana oso Tinok va'amar, halo Hashem zu chatanu lo, v'lo avu b'drachav alok, v'lo shamu b'tarasa. So this Hashem, we sinned to Hashem. We didn't follow in His ways. We didn't listen to His Torah. And that's what caused us all of our tzaros. Amar, Rabbi Shimon ben Hananya says, Muftach nibo shemora hora abi Yisrael. I'm confident that this is going to be a leader of the Jewish people. This is going to be someone who's going to be a great posek for the Jewish people. A great posek is something that the Jewish people have always admired. Because it's a person who teaches them Dvar Hashem Zu Alecha. It's a person who teaches them how to reside in the Dalet Amos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dalet Amos of Halacha, how to live like a Jew. So he says, this boy just expressed something to me that tells me that he's going to be a great posek. Havoda sheni zaz mikana chetenu b'chol momon sheposken alav. I'll pay whatever the ransom is. To think about it, meaning there are halachos about how much you're allowed to pay for ransom. You're not allowed to pay beyond the value of the market value of the prisoner. But there are certain people that, you know, you would imagine that you would break the rules for. People that are just so important for the future of the Jewish people. We don't always know when we have those people until they've already risen to certain positions. You know, when Moshe Feinstein came to America, he couldn't find a job. wanted him to be an elementary school rabbi, this a mashkiach. Imagine. And then you realize afterwards. So Rabbi Shmuel Hanani realized about this boy right here. Come on, whatever they ask for, that's what I'm going to pay. And he paid a tremendous amount of money, and his prediction was correct. This person became a very great Mora Hara Umanu, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. This young boy was none other than Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, like, what was the big deal about the kid's answer? You know, he said, why are Klal Yisrael in Galus? Because Klal Yisrael did Averus. I mean, any tinok could have told him that. Okay, adults don't always know, but every bar be'rav d'chad yoma, every tinok knows that. So he explains, based on the lashon of the pasuk that he said has a different lashon in the ratio of the pasuk and the seif of the pasuk. And he chose this pasuk particularly. Pasuk says, Lo Hashem zu chatanu lo. Chatanu lo. We have sinned, meaning we, not other people, we. Then, velo avu b'drachav, halo velo shamu b'tarasav. There are people that didn't follow his ways. There are people that didn't listen to his Torah. And that pasuk is a very unique choice of psukim because it teaches us a very important message. That the first thing that we have to question, the first thing we have to look at when tragedy strikes, when we run into problems, is ourselves, to be mefashvesh b'masa, ourselves first, chatanu lo. First we look at ourselves, and then, you know, it would be much easier if we could point out everybody else's problems. But that's not what this boy did. He had a certain sense of achrayas, a certain sense of responsibility. And that's why he knew that this boy was going to be someone special, because of bal achrayas. And that's why specifically probably a mora hara'ah. Because to be a Mora Hara'ah, you have to be a Bala Chrayas. You have to take upon yourself the responsibility that you're getting it right and that you're faithfully representing the Dvar Hashem. So that's why the Gemara starts out without telling, you know, the heading of the Gemara. These three stories we're about to tell are all stories about the Jewish people. They're not stories about the Romans. They're stories about us. And the pasuk that the Gemara starts with is that we have to be worried to know what our actions are going to cause. You know, sometimes something seems like it's important in the moment to stand up for a certain principle or to stand up for our kavod, but we have to pay attention to where this could lead. You know, to what kind of results can come out. We read in the Haftarah today, Yoda Shar Koneh V'chamore V'spalav, Yisrael Lo Yada, Ami Lo Hisponan. We weren't misboning properly. We didn't think about where our actions are going to lead us, what the long-term repercussions are. And that's ultimately the story, because in each of these stories, you know, in the moment, people probably thought they were standing up for something. Certainly in the Kamtza Bar Kamtza story, that there was a something to stand up for. But they don't realize that all of Churban Yerushalayim happened as a result of it. Now it's probably, there are different interpretations. What does it mean? Because of Kamtzim Bar Kamtzim, Churban Yerushalayim, one story destroyed Yerushalayim? So there are two approaches. Either you say that this was a story that was representative of the kinds of things that were going on, and it's those kinds of things that caused the Korban of Yerushalayim. Or this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Meaning we were doing lots and lots and lots of things, and then this story was the final straw. It's what put HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the edge and brought about the Korban. And we're going to see through this story that there's a... there are certain takanos that the Chacham made as a result of the busha that was created in this story, as a result of the just how exactly the story unfolded. The halach in Shulchan Aruch, that someone who's hishil beis ol beis haknesses, if someone, let's say, owns a house and lends it out to a shul to use, right? It's not a new thing. V'yesh lo meriva im echad me'akal. But imagine if such a person has a fight with someone else in the community. Shulchan Aruch writes, Enu yachal asra eli im ken yasra melekol akal ke'echad. He can't throw that person out and say, it's my house, you're out. Unless he throws everybody out. Meaning, it's his house. He can throw out everybody if he wants. But he, takana, halach, and shulchan aruch, he's not allowed to throw one person out. Because he can't single out one person. Mishra Brura says, where do we get that? Ayin gittin dafnun zayin. It's kamta bar kamta. You can't single a person out and embarrass him and throw him out. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that the Chum say, kol ma sheyomer lecha balabayis asay, whatever the balabayis tells you you're supposed to do, chutz mitzay. Unless the balabayis throws you out, then you don't have to listen. Meaning, we don't give the balabayis that kind of kalach. The balabayis doesn't have the ability to throw somebody out. Why not? Because of this story. This is what led to the Churban of Yerushalayim. So let's see the story. Akamtsu bar kamtsu chor of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of kamtsa and bar kamtsa. Da'u gavra, there was a guy, derachame kamtsa. He had a very close friend whose name was kamtsa. The Yismach Moshe, it's quoted in the Masifta over here, says that the Gemara prefaces with that point, that kamtsa was someone he loved very much, to let us know that when we say that sinas chinam destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, destroyed Yerushalayim, it wasn't because we weren't doing the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. We were doing the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha with who we wanted to do the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. I mean, we had our friends. People had their cliques. People had people that they were connected to. It's just that they also, on top of that, had sinas chinam. So there was this guy, Derachme Kamtsa, Baldavave Bar Kamtsa. And the guy that he couldn't stand was Bar Kamtsa. Marsha says, Bar Kamtsa sounds like it's his son, right? That there's a Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa were a father and son. And that's why the letter got, the invitation got mixed up. And that's probably why Bar Kamtsa thought he might have been invited. If this guy hated him, why is he inviting him? He figured probably as a favor to my dad he's doing it, because he's best friends with my dad. And the Ibn Yaakov points out, the Rashi says, no, because it can't be that it was his son, because then it should have said, you know, Kamtsa Ubre, that it was a story about Kamtsa and his son. To call it Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa sounds like you're talking about two different people. So whatever it is, there were these two fellows, Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa. So Avad Su'udasa, this guy, this unnamed person, made a Su'uda. Avad Lashame Zilai Sili Kamtsa. And he said, go invite Kamtsa to the Su'uda. Sent his messenger, Azal Aisile Bar Kamtsa. And the fellow brought Bar Kamtsa instead of bringing Kamtsa. Asa Ashkiche Davi Yosef. So the Balabas found that Bar Kamtsa was sitting there at the Suda. Amarle Michti. Hu Gavra Baldavavadu Gavrahu. You're my enemy, my boy Sakha. What are you doing here? Kum Puk, get up, get out. Amarle Holva Sai Shvaka. And he says, Vyavnilach the May Mada Chilnush Sina. You know, once I'm here already, so just leave me alone, and I'll pay for my plate. You know, whatever it costs for my plate, I'll be more than happy to pay for. So Amalei, lo, the Balabas said, no, I'm not masking. I don't want you at my suda. You're ruining my whole simcha. Seeing you at my party ruins my whole simcha. I've heard such expressions. So Amalei, so Bar Kamtsa says, you know, leave me alone, and you've looked to make palga the suda seich. I'll pay for half of the suda. Amalei lo, no. Even though you're gonna go 50-50, you know, whatever Mechutin hopes for, still no. Amalei, you even looked to make kula suda seich. I'll pay for the entire suda. Whatever Mechutin dare to dream about. Amalei lo, no, I'm not gonna allow you to stay here, even if you pay the whole thing, even if you foot the whole bill. Nakte biyade, he physically picks him up, v'ukmei v'afke, and he pulls him out of his seat and he throws him out of the house. Amar, so Bar Kamtsa said to himself, hol v'aviyasi rabbanan v'lo machube, since the rabbanan were sitting here the whole time and they didn't say anything, shema mino kanichulu. It must be that they approve of the bizyonos that this person caused me. That was his logical assumption. that if the Chacham didn't stop it, they must have approved of it. It's not always true. Sometimes Chacham don't approve of something, but they pick their battles, and they try to figure where they can have an impact, where they can't have an impact. But it's an assumption that people often make, that if they're not saying anything about it, if that's what goes on, you know, if there's a shul with, I don't know, a lot of talking or something, say, oh, that rabbi likes talking during davening, because he doesn't do anything to stop it. Maybe he's worried about, I don't know, keeping people Shomer Shabbos, whatever other battles he's fighting. But that was the assumption that was made. The Achronim are bothered. Why Taka the Chacham didn't say anything? I mean, there's such an avla. They say, oh, these Chachamim, they were such Tamimus Dika people. They imagined that if someone hated someone else, it was one of those cases of mitzvah l'sanoso. You know, the Gemara Pesachim tells us that there are certain people where you have a mitzvah to hate such people. So they imagined he probably did some sort of terrible avera where you have a mitzvah l'sanoso. There was such Tamimus Dika, they couldn't imagine he hates them for no reason. That's the more charitable view of Achronim. Other Achronim say, no, this guy was a rich guy. Someone offered to pay for the whole suit, and he said, I don't care, I got plenty of money. So they're not going to start up with the rich people. The less charitable view of the Chachamim. So Ezel Le'echel Bu Kurtza Be'malka. So I'm going to go and I'm going to... It's an interesting Lashon. I'm going to... It clearly means complain to the Melech. I'm going to... Be malshin, I'm going to tell the Lashon Hara, kurtz is like a Lashon, you have like a, because I'll say something, kurtzim be'enehem, that people like make gestures with their eyes when they don't want to say everything straight out, they sort of like wink and do things to you know, to communicate in non-verbal ways. So some of the Achronim understand that it means something like that, that you know, they're going to be merames with the Lashon Hara that he's going to tell, so that people won't chap what he's saying. Something like that. It's an interesting Lashon. And achel bu kurtza, you're going to eat kurtza. So some say no, it means literally they're going to eat. That when you, if you want to get in the good graces of the king and have his ear, and you're going to want him to listen to you, so you join his tish, and when you eat at his table, so then it will, you know, you'll endear yourself to him, and he'll listen to what you have to say. So Azal Amalei the Kesar Mardubach Yudai. So he went and he told the Kesar, the Jews are rebelling against you. Amalei Mi Yemar. He says, prove it to me. How do I know that the Jews are rebelling? I have people come here all the time, and they want to get back at their enemies. So they come and they say, oh, you know what this guy said about you? I don't trust it anymore. So the Kesar was wise enough to know that just because someone says it, you know, he doesn't want to be used as the weapon through which one guy punishes his friend. So he said, who says? How do I know it's true? So Amalei, Shadalu Korbana, send a Korban and see what happens. Chazisi Makrivin Lei, and see if the Jewish people are going to be Makriv the Korban. If they're not, then you'll know that they're rebelling against you. Because the halacha is, Goyim are allowed to send the Darim and the Davos to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara Darshan's Ish Ish Mi Beis Yisrael Umin Ager Hagar Bi Yisrael Asher Yakriv Karbano. So you're allowed to, you know, it's a Beis Tefillah Hilachol Amim, and it's a place where even all the Amim are allowed to bring Karbanos. So Azal Shadda Biyadei Agola Tilta. He sent an Agola Tilta. Machlokas, what Tilta means over here? Some suggest it means a third-born Egel, because when the behemoth is still young and is first giving birth, Sarashi understands, it's not yet at its full strength, so the first couple of offspring are not as strong. When it's older and it's giving birth, it's much weaker already, and the offspring are also not as strong. The strongest offspring is the third one, so that's the Egel Tilta. Rashi explains elsewhere in Shas that it means that it's one-third grown, the meat is most delicious. When the animal is not yet fully an adult, but not still a tiny baby, when it's one-third of its full growth. And some just say that, no, the word tilta just means the choicest. Egel mishulashes, ayil mishulash. You know, the Torah has, it just means the best. So send them something really good. Send them something really good. The Marsha says, now Egla, why dafka in Egel? Because the Egel is a bad memory for the Jewish people. Egla tilta, to remind us that we didn't learn our lessons from the Egel. There were three Egels. You know, we had this one time in history in the Midbar where we made the Egel. And then, later on, in the times of the Nevi'im. So we didn't learn our lesson by the splitting of the Malchus. We didn't learn our lesson, and we made two more Egels, which is mind-boggling. But that would be what they choose, to make another Egel. It's really, Yeravam decided that he doesn't want people going to Yerushalayim, because if Yeravam has people going to Yerushalayim, they're going to see that Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara El Malchus Beis David Ulvad, that the only one that's allowed to sit in the Azara is Malchus Beis David. Rechavam is the legitimate Melech from the Malchus Beis David, Rechavam ben Shlomo. Everyone's going to see Rechavam is sitting in the Azara, Yeravam's not sitting in the Azara. What's that going to do for Yeravam's authority? That he's not the legitimate king. So he blocked off all the roads that no one's allowed to go to Yerushalayim. And instead, you got to give them something, an alternative. It's like raising children, right? Anytime you tell a child that they can't have something, you got to give them something else to do. You can't just say, oh, you can't go there. You can't go there, so let's instead do this. Or, you know, some other suggestion, some other treat, something. So he gave them two Egel Azahav. I've never seen like a really good pshat as to like why he thought that was a good idea, considering the history of Egel Azahav. But that's maybe what they're referring to over here. Send an Egel Tilta. Let the Jewish people remind themselves of their failings, of where they've fallen short. So Bahadi Tekasi Shadabe Muma. When they were bringing this Egel Tilta to the Beis HaMikdash, so he was Matil Mum in it, either Benivs Vasayim, V'amila Betukin Sheba'ayin, either on the upper lip of the animal or in the eyelid of the animal, he made some sort of Mum. Beduchta Diladidan Havamumma Didhu Lav Mumahu. And specifically these places, because in these places, it would be considered a Mum from a Jewish perspective. But for Goyim, that are Makrav Karban, it's not considered a Mum, because only a Mechusar Eiver is considered a Mum. Meaning, a guy is able to be Makrav Karban on a Bama. When you're Makrav on a Bama, there's no Psul of Bal Mum, there's only Psul of Mechusar Eiver. So this isn't Mechusar Eiver, it's just Stam a Mum. So as far as the guy is concerned, the Melech is concerned, he's not going to even know that that there's any problem with this animal. But the Jewish people are never going to allow this to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. So Savar Rabbanu Lekruve, the Rabbanim thought to be makriv this karban. Why? It's you're not allowed to. Mishum Shalom Malchus. Because of Shalom Malchus, you're not going to start up with the Melech. This is a halacha psukah in Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham in Simitav Reish Nun Vav, Paskins, based on the sugya, that you're allowed to violate a losaseh because of fear of the Malchus. Prima Gadim says it's only if there's Safik Pikuach Nefesh involved. Okay, but Mishum Shalom Malchus, they're allowed to violate this halacha. We can't do that, because then people will think that Balei Mum are allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach, and they're not going to realize that it was only this case because of Shalom Malchus, because of potential Pikuach Nefesh. And in the future, people will not know the correct halacha, that Balei Mum are not allowed to be craven al-Gabe Mizbeach. Meaning he agreed la halacha, that Mishum Shalom Malchus you're allowed to do it. He didn't disagree with that, and that's why we paskin, like the Magen Avraham says, Mishum Shalom Malchus you're allowed to violate the law. So it's so interesting, because if Shalom Malchus you're allowed to violate the law, and you're allowed to bring a Balmum, which is a definitive law. So you would imagine a Gzeira Dirabanan of Shema Yomru, you know, that they might come to say, you would imagine that you'd be allowed to violate a law for... you'd be allowed to violate Xerid Rabbanan of Shema Yomru for Shalom Malchus. You're allowed to violate a real law for Shalom Malchus. So why would Shema Yomru be a bigger problem? So I think we pointed out in the past, the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is that Zechariah ben Avkulas was saying that as far as the Isser of bringing a Balmum, you're right, for Shalom Malchus, Radocha, that Isser. But to misrepresent the Torah, to misrepresent the halacha, to risk that the halacha is going to be misrepresented for generations, that the Dvar Hashem is not going to be accurately transmitted, that's Yarei Galyava. Even if it's Pikuach Nefesh, that we have to die rather than allow the Torah to be corrupted, than allow the halacha to be corrupted. So Savar L'Miktalei. So they said, okay, what's our other option? Our other option is, if we're not going to if we're not going to be makar of this carbon, then we got to kill Bar Kamsa. So he's not. So he can't report back to the melech. Meaning, we kill him, we take the animal, we put the animal out to pasture or something, and as far as the melech knows, we brought the animal as a carbon. No one will ever tell him. I guess Bar Kamsa didn't come with an entourage. It's pretty stupid of him. You'd imagine if he'd bring an entourage from the Beis HaMelech, and then, hey, where did Bar Kamsa go? You know, they would start asking questions. Maybe he did, and they were waiting outside, but still, if he doesn't come back. Anyway, that was the other option. The other option was to kill him. It's interesting why they thought that would be a better option. Meaning, what happened over here? Rabbi Zechariah ben Apula said, we can't be makrovit, because people are going to say that you could be makrov a bal mum. So the hava amina was better to kill him? I mean, he wasn't willing to be makriv a balmum, and they thought he would be willing to kill the person. So the havamin is a little bit interesting. It could be that this was a different issue, meaning that first suggestion was, let's deal with the issue right in front of us. The issue right in front of us is this animal. The kesar is waiting for this animal to be brought. And we have to get through this bump in the road. When that wasn't working, they said, okay, let's think bigger picture. This Bar Kamsa is not going to stop here. If this doesn't work, he'll be malshin about something else. So we have to think long-term, bigger picture. How do we stop Bar Kamsa? The only way to stop Bar Kamsa is killing him. It doesn't just resolve the issue of right now. It will resolve a much bigger issue. But again, normally Rabbi Zechariah said, no, you can't kill Bar Kamsa because you have to be choshesh that yomru. Matil mum bekachim yehareg. People are going to think that the halacha is that if you are matil mum on a behemas kachim, that the halacha is that you chayv misa, and that's not true. So again, he's concerned about the corruption of the halacha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's famous comment on vasnusos shel Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulas echrives beisenu, the anivus of Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulas by not killing Bar Kamsa, by not bringing that Behemoth Balmum, is what destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, v'sarfa es heichalenu, v'glisanu me'artzenu. It's what burnt our heichal, it's what caused us to go into Galus. And this is the famous comment of the Maritz Chayus, where he says that it was Anava that caused the Korban. Why is Anvasnuso? Because Menadin, you're allowed to bring the Korban that was a Balmum, because it was kind of for Klal Yisrael. But that required a certain Hora'ah, required a Hora'ah Sha'ah. It required being able to say, this is an extenuating circumstance, and I'm a bar hachi to make a hara shah, that this is what we have to do, even though this isn't standard operating procedure. And Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulas correctly sensed that the only people capable of making such a hara shah are people of extraordinary stature. And he didn't hold himself to be of such extraordinary stature. That's the anivus of Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulas that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning he knew what the right thing to do was, if he were someone who were able to make that determination. But he didn't feel that he was someone who was able to make that determination. Sometimes a person doesn't fully appreciate his capacity to affect, and his capacity to do good, to do the right thing, to influence other people. They weren't going to ask another rabbi after Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulas. That was it. He was the final say in the matter. So it was his anivus in not realizing that he would be the final say in the matter, and that the buck stops with him. So again, you see this idea that there's a certain fault in being too tmimistic, in not realizing how people can be. That's how Rav Asher Weissman says. This is not humility. It's just that he was too tmimistic. He figured Bar Kamsa's in a bad mood. It's okay. Let him go. He'll be fine. He's probably really a good guy inside. He's probably going to do the right thing eventually. He didn't believe that there's someone that's such a rasha that's going to do such a thing. That's the anivus of Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulas. A lot of times you have that also. You have people who are great Talmidei Chachamim. They lack a certain... It's a difficult balance. You don't want to be too cynical, but you got to be somewhat street smart also. You have to realize that certain people are somewhat underhanded. That's what the Gemara says about Yaakov Avinu. Right? That Yaakov, that's what Yaakov Avinu told Racha. That she said, you know, my father's going to outsmart you, he's going to fool you, he's going to pull every trick in the book, he's going to... So Yaakov Avinu said, yeah, with him, don't worry, I can outmaneuver him. Yeah, then I don't know if I want to marry you if you can outmaneuver him. I don't know if I want to marry a person like that. No, when I deal with good people, I'll know how to deal in a straightforward way. But when you deal with people like that, you have to know how to deal with people like that. A very, very difficult balance. You see, people make the mistake on both sides of that balance. So this Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas made a mistake on being too tamimistic. Rav Shachter has often commented that sometimes you have people in Batei Din that are doing Dinei Torah. Such tzaddikim. But they're totally unqualified to be dealing with Dinei Torah. Not because they don't know. They know all the halachos. But the head is in the book. They don't see the way that the businesses work, and they don't see the way that people work when they're dealing in business. Too tamimistic sometimes. You have to be a little bit cynical. So Shadri Lavayil and Neron Kesar, they sent to Neron Kesar, meaning when the Kesar saw that the Jewish people weren't bringing his carbon, he sent to Neron Kesar, go and start an attack. Neron Kesar, the Ben Yoyada explains, is like, just like you'd have the Gizbar HaMelech and the Yawetz HaMelech, this one of the Melech, that one of the Melech, each cabinet position is called the this of the Melech. So Neron Kesar, you know, it wasn't the same Kesar, it was Kesar, and then there was a Neron Kesar who was in charge of fighting the wars, and that's Poseidon's Kesar, and all the different cabinet positions under Kesar. So they sent to Neron Kesar, go and attack. So Kikaasi, when Neron Kesar got close to Yerushalayim, he decided to make a simon to see whether Yerushalayim is going to fall. So Shadagira Lemizra, he sent he shot an arrow toward the east, Asav Naflu Yerushalayim. The arrow landed in Yerushalayim. L'marav, asenaf of Yerushalayim. He shot an arrow to the west, landed in Yerushalayim. La'arba ruchas Hashemayim, all four directions, asenaf of Yerushalayim. And all four times, the arrow landed in Yerushalayim, and he realized that this is his sign. Marsha asks, well, why does he have to send it to four directions? One of them is the right direction, right? So it wouldn't be so miraculous if it lands in Yerushalayim, right? One of them is probably just at Yerushalayim. So it must be that he was really far away, that it shouldn't have gone that far. The fact that any of them, even the one that he shot in the correct direction, went to Yerushalayim was a great chiddush. Amar Leili Yanuka, so then the Neron Kesar went to a child and he said, Psokti Psukeich, tell me a pasuk that you learned today. So Amar Leili, the kid said, V'nasati es nekmasi be'edom b'yad ami Yisrael. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take revenge against Edom because of what they do to the Jewish people. So the Jewish people are going to fall to Edom, but then the person who does that to the Jewish people, Edom, is going to suffer because of that. So Neron Kesar understood Yerushalayim was about to fall, so he was about to win a war if he would fight this war, but he didn't want to be on the winning end of this war because ultimately he's going to lose. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get him back. So Amar, Kutcha Brichu Boi L'Kruve Beisei. Obviously, Hashem wants to destroy his Beis HaMikdash. This is like the point that we started with. It's not about me, it's not about the enemy. It has nothing to do with the enemy. The enemy is going to be whoever the enemy is, and that's just going to be about who gets punished for doing this. But Kodesh Baruch Hu's doing this to Klal Yisrael, whether I'm the puppet or someone else is the puppet, but why would I want to be that puppet? Why would I want to be the person that's going to be on the hook for this? So, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to do this, but he wants me to take the blame for him. I'm not interested. Arak v'azal v'igayir. That's it, he ran away and he was Megayim. You know, when you're Megayer someone, you want to make sure that they're not doing it because it's so geschmack to be a Jew. In times where things are really great, we're not Megayer. We tell a Gerus candidate, you're now going to be hated as much as we're hated. You're going to be the subject of anti-Semitism as much as we are. They have to realize that. This is a person who knew that there was about to be the downfall of Yerushalayim and joined us anyway. V'nafag minei Rabbi Meir. And his schar was that Rav Meir emerged from him. the Rambam in his Hakdama to the Al Chazaka, the Rambam writes that a mayor was the son of a Ger Tzedek. Meaning the Rambam understood this Gemara in a direct sense, that Nafak Mineh. Nafak Mineh means it was his actual son. It wasn't like a grandson or a great-grandson or whatever. Someone sent me an angry email recently about one of my shmuzin, quite a rant, and in the somewhat humorous, but in the rant he said, and you should know, I'm a grandson of Rav Shamsher of Al Hirsch. So I sent back, you must be 140 years old, a grandson of Rav Shamsher of Al Hirsch. So he said, no, what I mean by grandson is, great, 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 whatever, grandson. So here the Rambam says literally, Nafak Minei, Rameir, that Rameir was actually the child of Nerum Kesar. Why Dafka Rabbi Meir? Of all the Tanaim, what do we know about Rameir? So first of all, just the fact that a holy Tana, that someone who was so important, someone who was Meir Eine Yisrael Bahalacha, right? That's Rameir. He's Meir Eine Yisrael Bahalacha. You see, the great predictor of whether the child is going to be successful in learning is not whether the father was a Talmud Chacham or not. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes it's a reverse prediction. You know? Sometimes the kid sees the father is a Talmud Chacham and he's not interested in that lifestyle. And sometimes the kid sees and he's inspired and he wants to be like the father is a Talmud Chacham. But that's not ultimately a great predictor of what the child is going to be. Right, we don't keep it in the clergy. We don't keep our potential leadership only within the children of great Talmid Chacham. The Torah is it's a marasha for all of Klal Yisrael, and sometimes it's children of Amei Haaretz that become very great Talmid Chacham. But one of the great predictors is what is the attitude of the parents toward Talmid Chacham. That if Talmid Chacham are the ones that are the most respected. And they, the parents have such reverence for Talmidei Chacham, so the child is going to grow up at thinking that there's no greater thing to become than to become a Talmud Chacham. So look at the Kavod HaTorah that this fellow had. Here was a guy, he says to a child, tell me a pasuk. Kid says, a pasuk in Yecheskel? Pasuk in Yecheskel. Ooh, if a pasuk in Yecheskel says that, then I'm going to change my whole life based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. How many pesukim can we learn and, you know, like, we're totally unaffected by it? But such Kavod HaTorah that he had for a pasuk in Yecheskel. Maybe we would be affected if we ever opened up Yecheskel, but Rabbi Reisman told my Talmidim that today, to be a Baki in Tanakh, to be known as a Baki in Tanakh, all you have to do is to be able to name all the Treyasar. You don't have to ever open the book, just to be able to name them, and you're considered the world's greatest Baki in Tanakh. But it was the Kavod HaTorah that he had. That's what they say, that's what Rav Eliashiv in his Ha'aros writes. I wrote this in Hakdama to my first Sefer, that at a Siyum, of which I've just experienced many this week, none of my own, but at a Siyum, they do all the Bar Papas, the 10 sons of Rav Papa. So Rav Eliashiv explains, because there are many places in Shas where you find that there's a machlokas between different Amoraim, and Rav Papa is the one that comes along and says, we paskin like this one in this case and that one in that case. He's machriya b'nayim, that they're both correct. That he just can't handle rejecting one of the Gedolei Amoraim. So he incorporates both of them. Such kavod for Talmidei Chachamim, his children are all going to be great Talmidei Chachamim. Not because he was a great Talmid Chacham, that too, but that's not why. The reason why is because of the great kavod that he had for Talmidei Chachamim. The great reverence that he had for Talmidei Chachamim. Also, Ben Yoyada writes that he was so misspoiled from the nes that happened, so he was zochet to have Rameir Balanes. Meaning a nace happened. He shot the arrow in four different directions and it landed in Yerushalayim, and that meant something to him, so he was zochet to have Rameir Balanes. I prefer the first interpretation. Shadri Levi Aspasinus Kesar. So they sent Aspasinus Kesar to make Melchama, because obviously it failed with Nerum Kesar. So Asa Tzara Latlas Shnei. So Aspasinus Kesar spent 3 years in siege around Yerushalayim. The number 3 is a very important number in Judaism. You want to attack Klal Yisrael, the Gemara and Shabbos, that Peches, we just did an Amud Yomi, or I just recorded an Amud Yomi, I don't know, I guess whoever's doing the Amud Yomi will get there in a week or so. that we're an Am Tzlisai, we're a three-pronged nation, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. So the number three is important, the Maral says. Stavka had to be 3 years to sort of attack every element of what Klal Yisrael is. We're a Chut HaMeshulash, Lo B'Meheri Yinatek. It doesn't happen too quickly that we fall apart because we're a three-pronged rope. The Gemara in Sota says sometimes a person could have a zechus that's tola shana achas, that will keep Yisurin at bay for 1 year, and sometimes you have a zechus that's tola shtei shanim, and sometimes a zechus that's tola for shalosh shanim. And over here they obviously had some sort of zechus that kept the Yisurin at bay for 3 years, and we'll see what that zechus is in a moment. So havu b'hanu tlosa atiri, the 3 years corresponding to the three rich people of Yerushalayim. Nachdimon ben Gorion, ben Kalba Sevua, uben Tzitzis HaKeses. These are the names of the three very rich people of Yerushalayim who supported the entire Yishuv. Nachdimon ben Gorion, shenakta lochama bavura. Nachdimon ben Gorion was so called because the sun stopped in its path for Nachdimon. This is a maisa that's recorded in Maseches Tainis, that he was in Schaiv to the Hegmon, gave him 12 mayanos of mayim for the Ole Regalim, to give water to the Ole Regalim, that if it doesn't rain by a certain amount of time, he's going to have to give him 12 kikaros of kesef. And when the time came and it hadn't yet rained, and it was already mincha time, so he was in the Satif, Bitfila, he davened, and it rained. And then the Hegmon said, yeah, but it's too late, you already missed the deadline. It rained five minutes after the deadline. So he was in the Satif Betfila again, and the nace happened, and the sun was still shining. The clouds dispersed, and the sun was still there. So that's Nachdimon ben Gurion. Shenakta lochama ba'avurav. Ben kalba savua, shekola nichmas lebeso, kshurav kikelev yotze kshu saveya. Anyone who goes into ben kalba savua's house when they were starving like a dog goes out satiated. He so wanted to feed aniyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the aniyim that came to him were starving like a dog. So that that was where he excelled. Taking people who were super hungry and making sure that they come out feeling satisfied, feeling full. So that's Ben Kalba Savur. And then Ben Tzitzis HaKeses, Shesu Tzitzasu Negreres Al Gabi Ksasos. When he would walk, his tzitzis would drag on cushions instead of dragging on the floor, because he had these long tzitzis. Magen Avraham asks, based on this, in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Tzitzis, Mechaber writes that a person should be careful that his tzitzis don't drag on the floor. It's a problem I have when you're tired of Shechter's tcheles. His way of tying tcheles are extremely long. So, but you want to have a nice big talus, you have a teeny little talus, you don't want to have a reformed scarf talus, you want to have a nice big talus. So it's very, very difficult to find that exact measure, right? Maybe at my height it's difficult. Probably if you're like 6'4", it's a little easier. But the Shulchan Aruch says that the person should make sure that his talus doesn't drag on the floor. It sounds from our sugya, the Magen Avraham asks that if you're such a chashuv yid like Ben Tzitzis HaKeses, your tzitzis shouldn't drag on the floor. But otherwise, it's okay for your tzitzis to drag on the floor. Okay. So something the Achronim deal with. Some say, no, he was such a chashuv person. He was politically very chashuv. His chair was amongst the Gedolei Romi. And they were mechabit him. In the halls of government, they were mechabit him. That's where he got this name, Ben Tzitzis HaKeses. Yeah. So, Chad Amar Lahu, so one of these rich men said, I'm going to provide all the chitim sa'arim, all the food, the wheat and the barley that the people are going to need in Yerushalayim. That I'm going to provide whatever they need as far as wine, salt, oil. And the third one said, I'm going to provide whatever wood they need, whatever firewood they need. You have all the wheat in the world is not going to help you if you don't have an oven to bake it in, right? If you don't have firewood to fire up the oven. Vishabchu Rabbanan with the Tzibi, and the Rabbanan were Mishabeach, the wealthy person who volunteered the wood, more than all the other Ashirin, because using the wood, the wood gets used up much more quickly, and in order to provide everybody with wood, that's going to be a tremendous amount of wood, that he was the most generous of all of the donations. It's interesting, wood is also in the Beis Hamikdash. You know, it said the source for a siyum. The Rashbam writes in Maseches Babasa, the source for the idea of making a siyum is the people who brought eitzim, who finished bringing the eitzim l'maracha. So when they finished their job of bringing the eitzim l'maracha, they made a big party that they finished bringing the eitzim, and that's the source on the source of making a big party when you finish a mitzvah. Or Soloveitchik pointed out that that's a little bit strange, because when you brought the eitzim l'maracha, you provided the eitzim, nothing happened yet. You then need to use those eitzim on the mizbeach and burn the parts of korbanos that are supposed to get burned. You can bring all the wood in the world, if you don't use it, nothing's happened yet. And they made the party. They made a party when they finished bringing the eitzim. So Soloveitchik pointed out, yeah, that's exactly the simcha v'siyum. The simcha v'siyum is not what you've accomplished. We're not so into that, you know, in Judaism, to look back at what we've accomplished. The simcha v'siyum is look at what you're now ready to accomplish. Now that you have all this eitzim, think of all the karbanos that you're now able to bring that previously you couldn't. When a person is mesayim a mesechta, right, it's now look what I'm ready, now that I learned this once, next time I learn it, I'll understand it so much better. Next time I look at it, I'll be able to understand Torah so much better. That's the simcha v'siyum. I thought that's true even the halacha. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father and his grandfather, Reb Chaim, was makbid that when it came time simchas Torah, he would insist on chasen bereshis instead of chasen Torah. They always want to give the Rav chasen Torah. He wanted chasen bereshis because he thought the whole kunz of being able to be mesayim the Torah was that now you could be maskil the Torah with a new appreciation of it. So he thought chasen bereshis was a greater kibud, because that's the real simcha of the siyum, is that you get to start again. There's a minhag Yisrael like that when you make a siyum, that you learn the first mishnah of the next mesechta or whatever, or that you start again, or the first mishnah of that same mesechta, start again to show that's the point. The point is not I finished, now I graduate. It's like Rabbi Emanuel Feldman writes in his memoirs that he was learning in his office once in Atlanta, and one of the balabatim came in and said, "Rabbi, what are you doing?" He said, I'm just studying, I'm learning. He said, I thought you graduated rabbinical school already. Like, well, why would you be studying further? I thought, like, that's not our attitude. It's not that we're done, we're finished. That we're, no, now we're ready. We're ready to learn more. So Eitzim is this very chashva thing. It represents that idea that it sets us up for future accomplishment. So Rav Chisda, Kala Kli Dehavamasa L'Shaimei, Bar Mitetzivi. Rav Chisda used to give all of the keys over to his shami. He trusted his right-hand man with everything, except for the key to the Otzar HaEitzim, to where he kept his wood. Dom Rav Chisda, Akal B'Dechiti, Boi Yishitin, Akal B'Detzivi. To use one facility that stores wheat, you need 60 facilities that store wood to make full use of that wheat. Meaning the wood is more valuable because you need so much of it. Between these three Ashirim, they had enough to support Yerushalayim for 21 years. So they had a lot. They were able to buy a lot of time until they could figure something out. There was no rush in figuring out what to do next. But the way people are sometimes, people want an answer now. They don't want to wait. They don't want to see how things play out, be patient, look at the long view. They want to see right now. Right now, I want to know exactly how I'm going to get out of this. It's a problem a lot of times. People have to have a certain sense of bitachon, that like, if things aren't pressing immediately, sometimes it's okay to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow things to play out. A lot of times, you know, parents are so nervous about their children and how the child is going to make money and how the child is going to be happy, how the child is going to do it. So we want to know exactly, you know, what every year of the child's life is going to look like for the next 20 years. You know, exactly where is this going to lead to that. And sometimes people just have to live, and you don't know exactly where things are going to go. Remember when I was deciding when I first started thinking about whether I would want to go into Clay Kodesh or I wanted to be a lawyer my whole life when I was a kid. So it's not like I've been pining for the last 10 years. I'm so jealous of all the lawyers. So I asked one of my rabbis, and he said, look, the thing you need to get comfortable with is if you go to law school, so you'll go to law school 3 years, you'll have a law degree, you'll pass the bar, and you'll, you know, like there's a mahalich. He said, I don't know where you're going to work or if you're going to work as a rabbi, you know, like you have no idea like where it's going to take you, where life is going to take you. Mom is true. You have no idea where life is going to take you, but it's true in every profession. It's not only true in rabbanis. Sometimes we want to know exactly where everything is going to lead to. We don't always know. So they wanted to push things. There were these like anashim reikim, these people who were not very sophisticated people. People who thought that everything needed to be answered right there. They couldn't see past, you know, what was right in front of them. They lacked perspective. So Amalu Rabbana, Nefu Kanavit Shalma Ba'adayu. The Rabbanan said to the Bar Yonim, let's go make Shalom with the Romans. Lo Shafkinu. Bar Yonim said, no, we're not going to allow. So Amr Lahu. So the Bar Yonim said, Nefik Venavit Karma Ba'adai. Let's go make Mulchama with the Romans. Amr Lahu Rabbanan, Lo Mustaya Milsa. We're not going to beat them in a war. That's not even possible. It's so interesting because you would imagine the Chacham would say, wars are fought by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it sounds like the Chacham are saying over here, we're a bunch of 12-pound weaklings. We're a bunch of accountants. Why don't we, you know, we're not going to beat them in a war. We don't know how to fight wars. We don't fight wars anyway. Moshe Rabbeinu lifts his hand, V'gavar Yisrael. You know, it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with if you're looking up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's the Bar Yonim that said that. The Bar Yonim were the ones that were confident, the Ben Yehuda writes, that they were confident in the Zuchus of the Esek HaTorah, that it's going to save them from the Romans. Pasuk says, HaKol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim De Esav. When the Kol Torah is strong, the Yadayim of Esav are not going to be sholet on us. And we were doing well in learning. We were doing well in Torah. So that's how the Bar Yonim figured that we will be successful. It was a spiritual cheshbon, says the Ben Yehuda. So Ben Yehuda writes, and why did the Rabbanan disagree? Because they said, Lo Mistayeya Milsa. You think your words are going to help you? Your words aren't going to help you. Because the same Dor that's so strong in Torah also tells a lot of Lashon Hara. And Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. That which we stumble in, that which we fail in, can't be there to protect us. We tell a lot of Lashon Hara. So the words that we use, the way we use our mouth, if it's not pure, if it's not pristine, it just means we're talkative. We like to talk a lot. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're such kedoshim that our Kol Kol Yaakov is going to help us. Jewish people like to talk sometimes. So we have to make sure that we're channeling it in the right direction. It's okay to be talkative. They say the Chafetz Chaim was talkative. It's hard to believe, but that's what they say, that the Chafetz Chaim was talkative. He just never spoke Lashon Hara, ever. So we have to be careful that it's not just that we're talkative and therefore we're willing to speak whatever comes to our mouths, whatever comes to our minds is going to come out of our mouths. It's that we talk with a purpose. We talk with a level of Kedusha, with a level of dignity. And then the Kol Kol Yaakov Taka protects us from the Yadayim Yedei Esav. It's also amazing that there was that recognition that if there's going to be a milchama, you know, a lot of times you have people that are split into two extremes. You have people, let's say, in the current situation in Eretz Yisrael. So there are people that believe that our safety and security is in the hands of the Chayalei Tzahal, it's in the hands of the IDF and the Israeli Air Force, you know, and the powerful planes and all of the technology and weaponry. And that's what's going to protect us. And then there are people that believe that all of that is garbage, and the Torah is going to protect us. So I think we have to believe that, of course, there's got to be a hishtadlus, and we have to do within natural means whatever we're able to do and use all of that Jewish ingenuity and all of the ability to develop new weapons and to train soldiers and to do all of those things. But at the same time, realize HaKol Kol Yaakov, Kodesh Baruch Hu protects us as a direct result of our learning, and that's a mechayev for those who are learning. It's not stam that if a person's learning, so okay, it's a way out. It's a way out of having to protect quality as well. No, it means that imagine if you're a soldier that there are yeshiva baruchim that Bein Astarim, so they'll take a nap for an hour and a half. Bein Astarim, they're exhausted from a long Seder. Imagine if a soldier decided to do that when there was a Melchama going on. Just take a nap for an hour and a half. You can't just do that. If you really believe Kol Kol Yaakov, so then you have to intensify when there's Melchama. The Panavitri Yeshiva, when the Yom Kippur War happened, they canceled Bein Azman. There was no Bein Azman because we have a Melchama to fight. Okay, we're going to fight the Melchama by learning Torah, but they canceled Bein Azman. That's appropriate. That's what you're supposed to do. So this was the debate. The Bar Yonim thought that the Kol Kol Yaakov would help, says the Ben Yoyada, and the Rabbanim thought it wasn't going to help because they didn't always use that call in the proper way. So Kamu Kalinu Lahanu Amberi Dechiti V'Sa'ari V'Ava Kafna. So the Bar Yonim got up and they wanted to push their agenda. So they burnt down all of the storage houses of wheat and barley, and therefore it caused a great famine. The Gemara doesn't say they burnt down the wood, right? Just the chitim and sa'or. Because the wood is very useful and is very important, but if you don't have any food, the wood is, not going to help you much. So the Gemara tells us how bad was the famine. Marta bas baitus hatir to Yerushalayim avya. There was a woman, Marta bas baitus, who was amongst the richest women of Yerushalayim. The Mishnah, Maseches Yevamah, says that Yoshua ben Gamla was Makadish Marta bas baitus. So it sounds like it's the same person. The Marshal is not sure if it's the same person, because the timing may not work out historically. But she was someone who was very, very wealthy. Shadarti l'shlucha va'armalei zil aisi l'smida. So she sent a shliach to go get her some very fine flour, high quality flour. Ada azal is daven. By the time he got to the market, it was all sold out. So asa armala smida lecha chivarti. He said to her, we don't have it, but there's still white bread available. So she said, okay, that's all they have. Zil aisi li, so get me the white bread. Adazel is daven. By the time he went back to the market, that was all sold out. Asava amrala chivataleka gushkura ika. You don't have the clean, good flour, but there's some paskiber. There's like some coarse bread, some bran bread. Nowadays that would sell for more, right? But there was bread that was not as tasty, healthier bread. So amrlay, so she said, zil aisili, go bring that for me. Adazel is daven. By the time he went to the market, so that was sold out also. All we have is barley bread. Now barley was considered to be Michael Behema, but that's all that was left. Amrlay, zil aisili, okay, go get that. Adazel is daven. By the time he went there, that was sold out as well. Marsha points out four types of bread. Because when the Beis Hamikdash was around, we would be makir four types of lachmei toda. And people were kfuye tova, meaning here we had this supply of food that could last the Jewish people for 21 years. You know what the reaction of a Jewish person should be when we see that we have a supply of food that lasts 21 years? It's to say thank you to the Ribono Shel. Look what you've done for us. How many times in history did people not know where the next meal was coming from? Now, America today has an obesity problem, which, it's horrible, but you know how historically lucky we are to have an obesity, to have that be our problem? The reason they developed, these technologies of making food that could sit on your shelf and on the supermarket shelf for a long, long time is because they needed food that people could eat that could stay because people were starving. And now we have the opposite problem. So we shop at Karas HaTov for all of this. And what did they do? They had 21 years worth of food and they burnt it all down. They burnt it, they destroyed it. Is there a greater Kfuya Tova than that? So the four types of bread that the Onesh happens with. Instead of a Karban Toda, you destroyed your own food supply. Have a Shlifa Masana, she was going without shoes on. So she said, let me go see if there's anything out in the street that maybe I could look for some food somewhere, go through the garbage can or something. And she stepped in her bare foot on animal droppings. Umesa. And she was such an istinus, she was so sensitive to that she died. Kari Allah Rabbi Yochum and Zakai. Harakabach va'anuga ashalonissa chafragla. That she was so delicate that she had never toughened up to the point that she'd be able to withstand such a thing. Igdami grogos Rabbi Tzadok achla v'nisa umesa. Others say that it was what she had eaten was the shell of the grogros of Rabbi Tzadok, and meaning it was a half-eaten grogeres that she ate, and the Gemara is going to tell the story of Rabbi Tzadok soon, and that's what caused her to die. But again, it was because she was an istmus, because she was so sensitive. So the Gemara tells us, what was the story of Rabbi Tzadok? Rabbi Tzadok gives our Rabbi Shnin B'tanis of the Lelech of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Tzadok took it upon himself to fast for 40 years that Yerushalayim shouldn't be destroyed. Talk about being a Balach Rayus. He thought that he has to take it upon himself to do what he can to make sure that Yerushalayim doesn't get destroyed. 40 years, because 40 years before the Churban, the Sanhedrin was already batel, and they already started seeing the simanim of the Churban. So they were already able to see where history was heading, the direction things were heading in. So kevachol midi, whenever he would eat anything, he was so skinny that you could see it from the outside of his body. I mean, presumably he fasted during the daytime and he ate at nighttime, but you know, that has to have an impact. I just met Rav Chaim Kanievsky's son-in-law, who was just in town recently, and I was asking him questions. It was like 9 o'clock at night. I got into him and I started asking him, I said, oh, one more question. And someone like motioned to me, come outside. So I went out. They said, he needs to break his fast. I'm like, it's not a fast day. I said, no, he fasts every day. Okay, so I was hocking him up instead of him having his coffee at 9 o'clock at night. So there are people like this, not many. So he would fast every single day for 40 years. And you'd see when he's eating, you'd see it on the outside of his body, b'chiyav bari. And when he finished his fast and he wanted to strengthen himself, maisle grogros, they would bring dried figs, and he couldn't eat something that took too much digesting. So mayitz mayhu, he would just suck out the juices of the fig, v'shadilu, and he would throw the shell of the fig aside, he'd cast it aside. So kiavakanicha nafsha. So I mean, and that's what Marta Basvaita ate. One of these discarded fig peels. I don't know, it's not a peel, whatever you call it. The fig minus the juices that Rabbi Tzadok had just cast aside. So kiavakanicha nafsha. When Marta Basvaita was dying, I picked the lechol dava of a kaspa. She took out all the gold and the silver of shadisa b'shuka. She threw it out in the market. Amr, she said, "Hi, lemaini boili. What good does this do me?" Vayne duchsev kaspa machutzos yeshlichu. The pasuk says in Yecheskel that will throw out our kesef machutzos zahavim lenida yia kaspa zom lichu atzilim biyom evras Hashem. The pasuk continues nafsham lo yisabeyu. All the kesef zahav is not going to work on the day that we're suffering. This Rav Asher Weiss points out, this is a major remez to the cause of the Churban. Because the Yerushalmi in Maseches Yuma writes that Ov in a Samamon v'sonin elu le'elu sinaschinam. You know, not only, we quoted this morning, the Gemara in Yuma talks about why was the second basin was destroyed, sinaschinam. Yerushalmi adds a little bit more. Yerushalmi says, Ov in a Samamon, but they hated people. They hated other Jews. They loved money, though. Money they love. It puts a different spin on it. It's not that there was no love in their hearts. There's plenty of love in their hearts, just for money. For materialism. I was talking to a rabbi in a Torah, very Torah-oriented community recently. I said, I want to know, like, how do you get it that, like, a shul becomes a makom Torah where, like, chavrusas come to learn all day. You know, Rav Aaron Kahn told me, in his shul, there's learning 22 hours a day. There's, like, 2 hours between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. where people aren't learning there. But, like, otherwise, there are chavrusas learning there, yom v'lai, like, people come with a kol Torah, not just, you know, they come for the shir, which is also very nice that people come for a shir. But, you know, that's a place. You come and you learn Torah together. But there's a kol Torah there all the time. at nighttime, the place is knocking with people learning. So he said, it can't happen by you. I said, why can't it happen by me? He said, you live too close to the five towns. I said, what are you talking about? Why can't it happen in the five towns? He said, because you have to understand, in my community, no one's interested in making any money. So if someone makes an addition on their house, they're embarrassed. They have to say, oh, my mother-in-law made me do it. And like, there's no interest in doing any of that. He said, but you know, in Teaneck, in the five towns, or whatever, and you know, you have to keep up. So you gotta work late hours. You gotta make money. I don't know if that's correct or not correct, but that was his read on an outsider's read on the situation. Whether that's correct or not correct, what is correct is that sometimes we love money a little too much. I think we could all agree to that. That sometimes we prioritize gashmius a little too much. Yeah, I was mentioned the story in the past. I once in Camp Cayley in the parking lot, Rabbi Josh Bless saw me getting out of my car, and he said to me, "Oh, Rabbi Leibowitz, I have so much respect for you." I said, "Why? You know, like it's nice to hear, but why?" He said, "Because you're a rabbi in the five towns, so normally, like, you feel like you have to live up to the standards, and you know, people in the five towns drive fancy cars, and you know, I thought you'd be driving a fancy car." I'm like, what are you trying to say about my car? What's wrong with my car? But to even make that assumption that a rabbi should also have to, you know, live up to a certain standard of gashmius, that's a wild assumption. That anyone should have to, that we should have to be looking at what someone else is doing so that we can live up to that. And that, it's not that the Yerushalmi is saying, there happen to be two things. We love money and we happen to hate people. No, it's the love of money that causes us to hate people. Because we're always jealous of what they have. We're always looking at what the next guy has. And therefore, if you're always jealous of the next person, you're not going to love the next person. And this Meisen, the Gemara tells us, this woman was very rich. No shortage of Zahav, no shortage of Kesef. But she throws it out. L'may mi ba'ili. What a high l'may mi ba'ili. What do I need all this for? All the Osher didn't save me. Pasuk in Chagai says, Lia kesev, Lia zahav. Kadosh Baruch Hu owns all the kesev is zahav. So that's the point of the Maisi here. So the Gemara tells us again this story with the Baryonim and the Chachamim. Abasikra, Reish Baryonim Yerushalayim. Abasikra was the head of this group of Baryonim that burnt down all the food supply and wanted to start a war. So he happened to be Bar Achtei to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Hava. He was the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's sister's son. Sister's son. That's important, right? The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, a well-known passage of Gemara, that Rov Banim are Domim Lachia Ein. So when you look into Shiduchim, right, you're supposed to look at what the mother's brothers are like, right? What the prospective girl's brothers are like, because the children are going to be like their mother's brothers. Postum nowadays point out that that's no longer true. It used to be that that was her whole male influence, because women didn't leave the house very much, so the only men that they were exposed to were their brothers. So you want to see what kind of house she grew up in, what kind of influences she had. So look at the brother. The brothers are the one outside that you actually have exposure to. The girl is called Kavuta Bas Melech Panima. You would never see her. You wouldn't know what she had exposure to. You wouldn't know what she is. You have no exposure to her. So you look at the mother's brothers. Nowadays, there's so many other influences. You know, the yeshivas, the seminaries, the camps, the friends. There's so many other influences. You can't accurately predict. Sometimes you see in one family, it goes like in Akatsa, Lakatsa. Very, very different kinds of people come out of the same families. It's a great challenge for a lot of parents, because you're not raising kids that are even in the same ballpark. You're raising kids that are like all over the map in terms of their kochos and what excites them and what doesn't excite them. It's a major challenge. It was one of the Talmidei Chachamim, I think, went to one of the Mashkichim, was having had a child that was off the, I don't remember who it was. Maybe I'm not supposed to remember who it was. Well, someone had a child who was no longer religious. And one of the tzaddikim told him, you know, you're a person that people come to for advice. Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to make sure that you're not going to judge people when they come to you and tell you that they're having trouble with their children. You know, it's very easy to judge people. A lot of times people, you know, they'll look at someone's kid and they'll say, oh, what are the parents doing wrong? So now you'll know that you're not going to judge anybody else because you have the same problem in-house. So you're not going to judge anybody else. You're going to be more sensitive to what people are going through. So anyway, so he was the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Shalach le'etab etzina le'gabayi. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, come visit your uncle, quietly. Let's have a secret meeting. So Asa, so Abba Sikra came to visit his uncle. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to Abba Sikra, ad emas avidetu achi. You know, for how long are you going to stop us from trying to make peace with the Romans? V'katlitu le'li alma b'kafna. People are starving. How long can you watch this happen? So Amalei, Abba Sikra said, maya avid. What do you want me to do? I can't do anything to stop it at this point. At this point, if I were to say anything to them, they would kill me. Meaning there are leaders and there are leaders. He was the Reish Bar Yonah. He was the head of them. He was entitled. He was the leader. But he knew he wasn't really a leader. Meaning at this point, he was stuck with whatever the masses, the frenzy that the masses were in. They've already bought into this movement that he can't walk it back anymore, and he knew it. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai sent his nephew, Chazili takanta ledidi, find an eitzah de epuk, so I can get out of the city, efshar davi atzalah porta. Maybe I could have a little atzalah, something to try to make things better. So Amalei, so Abba Sikra said, nekot nafshach b'ktziri, you should pretend that you're, here's the plan, pretend that you're sick, and we'll get the rumor going that you're very ill. Everyone's going to come and ask how you're doing. And then we'll bring a nevela or something that reeks, that smells. And we'll put it next to you in a bed so that it will smell like a carcass that's decomposing. And then we'll say that you had died and it will smell like it. And your talmidim will come to carry your coffin. And only the Talmidim that you trust can come, because we can't let anyone get the secret, let the secret out. And the Bar Yonim are not going to be choshed, that anything's going on by not allowing outsiders in, because the derech of tzaddikim is that tzaddikim, Marsha points out, tzaddikim leave it tzava'a of who gets to carry their aron. It's not just anybody. You know, then you have a lot of pushing or whatever. It's not just anybody that gets to carry. So it's like, it will be normal. It will be considered a normal thing. The Limshenbach de Kalilat. And that way, if only insiders are carrying your aron, no one's going to realize that you're lighter than you should be, because there's such a thing called dead weight when someone is dead. So because they can't adjust their weight to those who are carrying them, so it seems much heavier. The inuyadi dechaya kolul mimesa, because everyone knows that it's much harder to carry a dead person than it is to carry a live person. So Avadachis, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did like Abba Sikra Zeitza, when they started the rumors that he's dead. Nichnas for Rabbi Lazar mitzadechad, Rabbi Shua mitzadecher. So Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shua came to carry his mita. Kimatul lepischa, when they got to the gate of the city, bo lemitkarei. The Bar Yonim wanted to stab him to see if he's actually dead. So Amar Lahu, so Abba Sikra said, that's what you're going to do? Yomru Rabban Dakru? Meaning, come on, a little bit of dignity. Then you're stabbing a dead body of their leader, of their rabbi. So they said, you're right, that wouldn't be nice to mutilate the body. They wanted to push him and see if he screams. You know, pinch him a little. So Amar Lahu, so Abba Sikra said, they can't do that. Yomru Rabban Dakru? You may not be mutilating the body, but that's not nice either. That does show such disrespect to the body of their rabbi. So Paslu Bava, so they opened up the door. Nafak and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to go out, and he was able to meet with Aspasinus Kesar. Kimat alahasam. So when he got there, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got to Aspasinus, Amar, he said, Shalom Alech Malka. Shalom Aleichem King. Shalom Aleich Malka. He said it twice. Marsha says he said it twice because Kotlin Shalom Lamalchus. You're supposed to, when it comes to Malchus, you say Shalom twice. It's the protocol when it comes to Malchus. Sometimes when you're dealing, right, the dignitaries need to know what the protocol is in different places. You meet the Queen of England, you act in a certain way. You meet someone in China, whatever, you act another way. Some places you bow, some places you kiss on the cheek, some places you don't bow, whatever the protocols are. When Talmidim asked me last week, we were discussing we were discussing how to dress for davening. So I was told, you know, that at the very basic level, you have to dress respectfully, like you're gonna, you know, the basic level of davening is that you're speaking to someone that's mechubad. I remember when I was in Keren Biavna, the Rosh Hashiva gave a whole shmooze about wearing garbayim for davening. I didn't know what garbayim meant. I just knew that they were important for davening. Turns out they're socks. So people should know it's important to wear socks for davening. I notice that's a new shtick. People come to daven in flip-flops or slides without socks. I don't need to know which little piggy went to the market when you're coming to daven Mincha Maariv. That's not a way to daven. So one of the Talmidim said to me that he said, why don't we shuckle that? Would you ever do that in front of an Adam Mechubad? You're going to talk and you're going to shuckle? That looks terrible. So he said, no, there's protocols. Different malachim have different protocols. You go to the king, in the queen of England, it's one way. You go to China, it's another way. You go to the protocol in front of Malachim is that's what the malachim do. We're imitating the malachim. So that's the protocol in the Darkei Shemayim, is that you're supposed to shuckle. That's the best I can come up with. I don't know if it's right. The Kuzari says a different reason, but Kuzari's reason is a little humorous. The Kuzari says that they used to have only one sefer that they were all able to read from. So they had to take turns reading. So one guy would bend down and read, and then just put his head up. The other guy would bend down and read, put his head up. I don't know about that one. probably more, it's like the Malachim. Ragleim regal yishara, the Navi says. That their feet were together with straight leg, and that's why we stand Shemoneh Esrei like that, and the rest of our body is moving. That's what the Navi describes in Yechezkel, I think. So that's the protocol. So to be kofel b'shalom malchus, that's the protocol. Shalom alach malka, shalom alach malka. Sam alay, sas b'sayin, sas rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, v'chayav to trey ketala. You chayav misa twice. Chada delav malka, ana v'kakarisa li malka. V'su, imalka ana, adin amayla osis agabay. Because, first of all, I'm not a melech, and you called me a melech. So you're married b'malchus, against the real melech. So that's terrible. You're not allowed to do that. And Lishi Toscha, that I am a melech, so where have you been? Had you not come out to greet the melech? I wasn't so far away from you that you shouldn't come and greet me. So he's not a melech, and you should have come and greet me. Chayv Shtei Misos? I always wondered, you know, you'd hear about a criminal, he's four consecutive life sentences. Where do I sign up for that? How do you get four lives? It's amazing. So it means that you chayv misa mimanafshach. You know, if he's not a melech, you chayv misa for calling him a melech, and if he is a melech, you chayv misa. So mimanafshach, whichever way. Now you locked yourself into a corner where you chayv misa regardless. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I'm not chayv misa. Dekamet lav malka no. That which you tell me that you're not a melech. Say Ivra malka, you're wrong. You are a melech. You just don't know it yet. Because the rule is, I know we have a Kabbalah, we have a Mesorah, that if you're not a Melech, Yerushalayim doesn't fall in your hands. Yerushalayim didn't actually fall in his hands. Titus came later and was Kovesh Yerushalayim, but he's the one that had laid siege around Yerushalayim for 3 years and was starving out Yerushalayim, so it's Ki'ilu it had fallen in his hands. That's what Tosus points out over here. So if you were able to do this to Yerushalayim, then you must be a melech. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says, "Va'levanon ba'adir yipol," ve'in adir el melech, that the levanon will only fall to an adir. An adir means a king. How do I know that? Tichsiv, "Vaya adiro mimenu." So an adir is a melech. That's moshel. It says, "Umoshel b'kir mikibro yetsay." So it's a moshel. Ve'in levanon el beis hamikdash. Levanon is reference to the beis hamikdash. Never hara tov hazeh v'halavanon. So the Beis HaMikdash is Levanon. Why is it Levanon? Because it's Malbin Avonoseim Shal Yisrael. It whitens the sins of the Jewish people, Rashi says. That's the imagery we have in Yom HaKippurim. That they tie the red string around the Seir Mishtaleach and it becomes white. That if our sins were red, so they'll turn white. So that's the Beis HaMikdash is Levanon. It could be that was our problem. Is that we relied too much on the capacity of the Beis HaMikdash to save us and to protect us.
Because we knew, no matter what Averis we did, we always have the Beis HaMikdash. You know, we always have the Beis HaMikdash to help us out. We shouldn't be so confident. You know, we should realize that it's a big deal to sin, and that it's a great gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the ability to achieve kapara, but we can't rely on it. But anyway, so Levanon is the Beis HaMikdash. It's Ka'amrit, and now what she said, that Imalka Ana, Amai Lo Kosel Kabayadid, now why haven't I showed up? Till now, well, Bar Yoni did Espol Lo Shavkinan. Believe me, I wanted to, but the Bar Yoni didn't allow me. So Amalei, so Aspasayna said to Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai, you're incorrect. You're incorrect in telling me that you couldn't come. Ilu Chavis Shel Devash, V'Darkon Koruch Aleha, Lo Yushovernes Achavis Bishvil Darkon. If there was a barrel of honey, and there was a snake that was wrapped around the barrel of honey, wouldn't you break the barrel for the so that the snake would go away? So you should have destroyed the walls of the city and burnt it down in order to get the Bar Yonim out of your way. The Bar Yonim are the snake. The barrel is Yerushalayim. Destroy the barrel and get the Bar Yonim away. So Ishtik, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai did not respond to Aspasiyonos Kesa. Sometimes Ishtik means that he had nothing to say, and sometimes Ishtik means that he bit his tongue. That he had something to say, but he didn't want to say it. Doesn't say, well, I don't know. I don't know which one it is over here. We're going to see later, the Gemara will say, actually, why it is that he was shasak. So, Kari Alei Rav Yosef. So, Rav Yosef says about Rav Yochanan and Zakkai, V'item Rav Akiva. Some say it was Rav Akiva says about Rav Yochanan and Zakkai, Meshit Chachomi Machor V'daitom Yisakel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls back the Chachma of the Chachamim and confuses them. He took away the Chachma of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to not give him the words to respond to this claim of Aspasinus. Because he should have said to him that you don't have to break the barrel, Shaklinan Svasa, Vishaklinan Le Darkon, Vikatlinan Le. That you could take a stick, take the snake off of the stick, and kill the snake, Chavisa Shavkinala, and leave the barrel. So we were hoping that we'd be able to defeat the Bar Yonim, and we wouldn't have to destroy the whole city in order to overcome the Bar Yonim. That's what he should have said. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that he wouldn't be able to say that. Why not? I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to have to say that we want to kill our fellow Achenu B'nai Yisrael. So he just didn't say anything. Meaning that Ein Achinami, in that situation, that the best thing to do would be to trap Achenu B'nai Yisrael, these Bar Yonim are Jews. This is not a time, Klapei Chutz, dealing with others, to show division within our ranks. Maybe. Sadahachi asa pristika alemi romi. In the meantime, a messenger came from Rome, Amarle kum demisle kesar. And he said, you've been all the gedula, he says to Aspasinus, because Kesar has died, v'armi hanu chashivit romi lo sivach beresha. And they decided that you're the new Kesar. Havasayim chadasani, he was tying one of his shoes, boil the Messiah melachrina, and he wanted to put on his other shoe, lo ayil, but the second shoe wouldn't fit on his foot. So he wanted to take off the first shoe because he can't walk around with one shoe. Lo nafak, and the shoe that he had on wouldn't come off of his foot. So it's like an awkward position. You were just anointed king and you can't even get your shoes on, right? Or off. So he was, looks like a klutz, you know? He was just appointed as the king. So Amar, he says, my hi, this never happened to me before. I never had problems with my shoes before. What's going on? So I'm late. So Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai diagnoses the problem right there. He says, lo titztayer, shmua tova asilach, tetsiv shmua tova tadash in etzem. You just heard good news. When you hear good news, it fattens up your bones a little bit. So when you had good news, your feet swelled, and therefore you couldn't get the shoe that was on off, and the one that's off, you can't get on. Alamaita kante, so what should I do to get my shoes off? So now he's asking, you know, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, you're the doctor, you gotta tell me, how do I, what sort of diet plan do you have that I can make my bones be less big? Right, people assume that when they need to lose weight, it's because they have big bones, right? So what can I do to take away the bigness of my bones? So Lacey Inish Tolamiyat Vadaitach Mine. Bring someone that you don't like, kamach, and have him walk in front of you and let your blood boil as you watch this person that you can't stand. Ichsiv ruach mechayetz yabish garet, that a ruach, a broken spirit, will dry up the bones. So avid hachi ayil. Yeah, I don't know how they did that. Excuse me, sir, we need you. For what? We're not saying. just come walk in front of the king. So that was it. That did it. So Amalei says, by sign of sense of Yochanan Zakkai, wow, you're a smart man. Since you have such chachma, you would think, what is a chacham? A person sits all day and night in Beis Medrash, he's diagnosing podiatry problems. You know, that the guy's foot is too big, and he's solving the problems. And he's, sometimes you have people like this that just have such a curiosity and such an ability to interpret the world around them and what happens in the world around them, that he was able to see the entire world through his Chachma Satora. That's what they say. If you ever read the biography of Rabbi Belsky, Zichrono Livracha, it's crazy what he knew. You know, it's not like sometimes you say a person knows a lot of secular knowledge, so you assume it means that he knows some chemistry, some math, he knows some. Rabbi Belsky knew how, you know, the right kinds of stitches to sew in different, you know, even carpentry, like crazy things. Like, why in the world would anyone know these things? Just do everything. So this was impressive. So as Besaina says, "Me'achad chachmisu kulei hai." Wow, you're so smart. Adi idna ma'ilo asis legabai. If you're so smart, you know, why couldn't you come earlier? So amalei lo amilach. I already told you I couldn't deal with the paryonim. So amalei ananami amilach. As Besaina said, and I told you that you should have destroyed the whole wall. You take the barrel out so that you can get rid of the snake that's around the barrel. So you never answered me. What he was really asking him, L'chora, was, it's one thing to tell me you couldn't figure it out, but now that I see that you can figure things out, meaning now that I see how clever you are, so you must have been able to outsmart these baryonim, right? It must have been some harama you could have done that could have gotten rid of the baryonim. So Malay, Saspasaita says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Mezel Azilna, I'm going to go to Rome because I have a malchus now to take care of. But I'm going to have to send someone else in my place. I'm going to send someone else to fight the war. But I'll give you one wish. You could ask me for something that you want. Because Ben Yoyada says he appreciated the respect that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was giving him. Meaning, he saw how smart Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was, and he didn't respond. Meaning, when it got to a back and forth, and he said, why didn't you do this? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could have kept the conversation going and could have answered him, but he respected him to not answer him. So out of respect for, out of appreciation for that respect that he showed him, you know, sometimes you're talking to someone and you realize at some point in the conversation that the person you're talking to is way smarter. I don't know, maybe it never happened to you. It happens to me a lot, right? I'm talking to someone and I realize, if I get into an argument here, I will lose. Whether I'm right or wrong, I'm going to lose. I mean, this person is way smarter than I am. And the menschlichkeit of Rabbi Yochanan to not win the argument, to stop. So he appreciated that menschlichkeit. You know, you when you talk to a person, you want to make the person feel good. It doesn't help to make a person feel small. You make a person feel good about themselves, and then they'll appreciate that. People appreciate feeling good about themselves. That's what one of my talmidim was asking me. How do you, when you go into chinuch, how do you know if you're going to know all the answers? I said, I can tell you right now, you won't know all the answers. You probably know very few of the answers. But that's not the trick. The trick is when someone asks a question, tell them that it's a good question and that you don't know the answer, and then they'll feel good, and that's better than any answer. But they feel that they asked a good question, then you should obviously research the answer and come back to discuss it with them. You shouldn't just leave it that there are no answers to anything in Judaism. But ultimately, if a person feels good about themselves, that's a win. So he appreciated that. So ask, what do you want? So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I'd like three things. Tein li yavna v'chachameha. I would like yavna v'chachameha. Don't kill the chachamim. Let them learn in yeshiva. V'shashiltet Rav Gamliel. I want the mishpacha of Rav Gamliel, the Nasi, to remain, because that's going to be a zecher to the Malchus based David. V'asvasa demasin le'Rav Tzadok. and we should appreciate all the Mesiris Nefesh Rabbi Tzadik had, fasting for 40 years for us. So how about the doctor that will help out Rabbi Tzadik, so that he'll be able to digest food again, and he should have a refuah. So that's what he asked for. Kari alei Rav Yosef v'item Rabbi Kiva meishiv chachav ma'akar achar v'daitam yisakel ibayil lemeimar lei l'shkinu chadazimna. Said he did wrong. He should have asked that they should leave Yerushalayim this time. Don't destroy Yerushalayim. Meaning, he was just told you have one request. You can make one request. He should have gone for the big one. He should have said, save Yerushalayim. Don't do this. And instead, he went for how we're going to survive without Yerushalayim. Meaning, you're already taking for granted that we're going to lose Yerushalayim. Okay, so what do the Jewish people need to make it now that we're not going to have Yerushalayim? So give us yeshivas to learn in, give us a zecher to the Malchus Beis David, take care of Rabbi Tzadik. That's going to be how we're going to survive without Yerushalayim. You should have asked for the big one, you should have asked for Yerushalayim. V'husav, Harba Rav Yochum Tzak, I thought, Dilma Kulei Elohavid, that maybe if I ask for such a thing, he's not willing to do that. And Vatzala Porta Nami Lohavi. It's not even going to be a Hatzala Porta. Meaning, if I ask for two, like imagine if you say one request. Okay, make me king instead of you. That'll be the end of the conversation. That's over. It's, you can't ask for something too big, and you have to. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, you know, when he dies, the Gemara tells us that he was telling his Talmidim he was very nervous before he died. Some tzaddikim when they die are very much at peace. You have. We have records of what happened at the Shas Petira of different tzaddikim. Sometimes they're just very much at peace. They've done what they've done, they've accomplished what they've accomplished, they have the Talmidim that they have, the children that they have, the influence that they've had, and they feel like they're ready to meet the Borei Olam. And sometimes you have tzaddikim that are not at all at peace. They feel like they may be messed up. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the Gemara tells us, when he died, he says, I don't know, Be'ezeh Derech Malichin Osi. I don't know which way I'm going over here. I don't know which direction I'm going. So the Achorim ask, you don't know which direction? You're Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. I mean, come on, I know which direction you're going. How do you not know where you're headed? So they explain it to this Gemara. He lived with the rest of his life with second-guessing himself. Did I make the wrong request? So it's a pressurized situation, because if he asks for it and he doesn't get it, then he has nothing. So he was asking for the keys to Jewish survival in Galus instead of asking to avoid Galus. And he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure if it was the right decision until the day of his death. He wasn't sure if it was the right decision. Rav Asher Weiss points out, but look at the chachma of what he actually did ask for. When the Beis HaMikdash was all made, Bitif Arto, and Enei Kol Yisrael Nesuos, the Makom HaMikdash, Rasras HaShechina, everyone was able to look at the Makom HaMikdash to see the Kohan in Babel Dasam. Yisrael Yoshev Alad Maso, Ishtachas Kefano, Ishtachas Te Naso. Everything is going great. Nasi Yisrael Baroshom, we have a Melech. So we have Kahuna, we have Nasius, we have Shevet Levi, Shevet Yehuda, the Yachin, the Boaz. Klal Yisrael has what to be inspired by. Kohanim or Makrif Karbanos, and the Nasi that's running the country. We have what to be inspired by. But then a Churban comes, and we go into Galus. And Kahuna is gone, and the Seals is gone. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai understands that now we're going to have to, leadership is going to have to shift to somewhere else. It's not going to be the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not going to be in the halls of government. So where's the leadership of the Jewish people going to be? So he says, Ten li Yavne v'chachamecha. It's going to be in Karen B'Yavne. It's going to be in the Bate Medrash, it's going to be in the Yeshivas, it's going to be in the Chachamim that are going to be that are going to lead the Jewish people through the long, long days of Galus. That's Tainli Yavne V'Chachamecha. It's also just really impressive that if you think about it, Rav Asher Weiss quotes from his father, Zichron Levracha. His father was a very, very special person. I think I've told the Maisa before, but it's worth repeating again. The Maisa with his father. Rav Asher Weiss's father was a chassid of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. He was in the concentration camp with the Kleisenberger Rebbe. He heard that the Rebbe was one bunker over. He bribed someone in that bunker to, whatever you call it, but in that place, to trade places, then bribed him with food so that he could be close to the Rebbe. And he got near the Rebbe and he told him I bribed someone to be near the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, what can I do for you here? There's nothing I could do. I can't help you over here. So Rav Asher Weiss's father said, I want you to learn with me. And he knew, he was Rav Asher Weiss's father, he was probably pretty strong in learning, and he knew certain things by heart, and he was actually mechazik the Rebbe. The Rebbe was losing hope. He was mechazik the Rebbe, and the Rebbe was mechazik him, and together they got through. And then after the war, Rav Asher said the story was that this was printed in Mishpacha magazine a while back after Rav Asher's father died. They were burying bodies. They found Jewish bodies and they were just digging graves. I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure many of us have been to a funeral and the grave is already dug for us. All we have to do is fill it in, right? We try to have Jewish people fill in the grave. And, you know, with all the exercise we do in the gym and running and this and that and, you know, extreme challenges and whatever else we do, you start digging with a shovel for 5 minutes and you're like, you know, you're like totally exhausted. It's not easy to dig a grave. It's not easy to fill in a grave. And here they are, a couple of Hasidim who survived the Holocaust, malnourished, digging graves. And Rav Asher Weiss's father turns to the Kleisenberger Rebbe and he says, I just can't. He's emotionally drained. He was physically drained. So I just can't do it anymore. So the Rebbe said to him, what can I tell you that will give you the chizik to move on? What can I tell you that will make you want to keep on going? So he said, I want you to give me a bracha that I'm going to raise children who are going to be Talmidei Chachamim that light up the world with their Torah. And the Rebbe says, I give you such a bracha, and then he continued on. This is Rav Asher Weiss's father. You've all heard of Rav Asher Weiss, who lights up the world with his Torah. Rav Binyamin Weiss is the chief rabbi of Montreal. There's another son that's in New Jersey that's the head of the Hasidus of the Kleisenberger, the Abbeisdin over there in Union City. There are sons all over the world. I think there were 6 or 7 of them. And they're all enormous Talmidei Chacham. So I always say, there's like two ways to interpret the story. There's the Hasidish way to interpret the story and the Litvish way of interpreting the story. And they're both really good. The Hasidish way of interpreting the story is, that look at the koach of a bracha of a Rebbe. Yeah, such a bracha. The Litvish way of interpreting the story is, a man who when asked, what do you want? Give me anything that I can tell you that will give you chizik. And the one thing that he wants after going through the Holocaust is to have children who light up the world with their Torah. He's going to raise children who light up the world with their Torah because he values that so much above everything else. So he was a businessman, Rav Asher Weiss's father. Not your typical businessman. And he pointed out that it's just an amazing thing that that which keeps the Jewish people, the religious Jews, that which keeps us belonging to the Am Hashem, you know, belonging to a community of those who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what would be the things that you would identify as what keeps us, you know, as like our home base? To know that we're going to serve Hashem. It's probably the two biggest things. It's Shabbos and Shul. That we daven with the minyan 3 times a day and that we keep Shabbos. That everything stops on Shabbos. Cell phone's off on Shabbos. There's no business on Shabbos. Everything's off on Shabbos. He says it's just an amazing thing if you realize, Rav Asher's father pointed out, that before the Chacham were Mesakeh in the Nisr of Mekach u'Memkar, Shabbos from a purely Da'oraisa perspective, okay, so we're not going to plant, we're not going to harvest, we're not going to winnow. I don't remember the last time I winnowed anyway. But to close all of our shops, that's all Drabbanan. To not do business, not sell and buy, that's all Drabbanan. And before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were Mesakein a Nusuch of Tefillah with Kaddish and Kedusha, and Dvarim Shebekdusha means you need a minion for those things, so why would anyone ever go to shul? Daven wherever you daven, once a day you daven. Yeah, the avos from Masaki and Shachris and Mincha Marv, that just means, sounds from the Rambam, That not that they were misakin that you have to do that, but that's what they did. Meaning they were misakin, that it makes sense to daven at those three different times a day. But really, midaraisa, you only need to daven at most once a day. This is all midrabanan. The things that keep us in line are all midrabanan. And that's those became the yesodos of Yahadus. So in the days when we had a Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael could look El Har Hashem, and Shalosh Pam Bashana, they'd be Olah L'Regel, and they'd be able to see the Kohen B'Avodasam, and they would learn from them Torah and Yerushamayim, and they'd come back with hearts so overflowing with Avas Hashem and with Yiras Hashem, it would keep them going until the next Regel. And then the Churban happened. There's no more Kohen B'Avodasam, there's no more Leviim, B'Shiram, and B'Zimram. Someone told me Rabelski used to walk around with a harmonica. You know this? This is true. That he was a Levi. That he was ready. Ready to play music. It would be weird to walk around with a harp all day. So he used to walk around with a harmonica. And he knew how to play it. Of course he knew how to play it. That's something. Charev Beis HaMikdash, we don't have this anymore. Pasak Hashir, Pasak Chazon Yisrael. So, Anshei Knesset HaGdola and the Gedolei HaTanaim have to give a new face to the inspiration of Klal Yisrael. So instead of a Beis HaMikdash, we have Mikdash Ma'at, we have Batei Knesios, we have Batei Midrashos, where we gather together for Tefillah three times a day. It's remarkable. We had this past week on the camp that I was traveling with, they had this guy who was on some TV show where you like race against a professional athlete, and if you win the race, you get X amount of money. They showed the video of the show. It looks really hard. He must be in very, very good shape. And like one of the boys asked him, so how do you train for it? So he said, it was grueling. He said, I was training 5 hours a day. You know, I was exercising 5 hours a day. So what did he do? He said, I'd wake up, you know, 4 a.m. I would, you know, work out in the gym for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then go to Shacharis, then learn, then go to my job, and then at night, train for another 3 hours. And like no one stopped to say, wow, you went to Shacharis and you learned. Of course, you're from Judah, that's what you do. You go to Shacharis and you learn. It doesn't even faze us because that's what we do. We daven, we go to shul, and Shabbos Kodesh is Mekadesh Zman. We take away the big day chol and we wear this simla chadasha that's called kedusha, kol kula kadosh v'tefaris menucha kedusha. We close up the stores and we engage in ruchnius. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was seeing over here. Yavne v'chachameha. That's going to be what gets us through all of this. Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz in Yaros Devash says, you know, it's amazing. 70 years in Golos Bavel, and we were marrying Nashim Nachrios. We forgot Shemir Shabbos. The Shem Hashem was completely forgotten. And yet, we've survived thousands of years in Golos, and there's still B'nai Torah, there's still people learning, there's still Shomrei Shabbos. What happened? 70 years in Golos Bavel, we didn't make it. We didn't have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai telling us, Tein li yavne v'chachameha. We didn't have someone who sort of set the agenda of what's going to keep us in line, what's going to keep us focused. So Tein li yavne v'chachameha, give me yavne v'chachameha, give me the Torah. And the Torah is going to keep us going. That's going to keep us focused. So, Kari Alei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said about this pasuk, Vitema Rabbi Akiva. Some say, Rabbi Akiva, Meshiv Chacham Achar. I just read that, right? So, right. So here we are. So, the Gemara brings how they were merape Rabbi Tzadok. Asvasa demasin led Rabbi Tzadok Mahi. What was the medicine, the refuah that they gave to Rabbi Tzadok? Yoma kama ashkiyu amaya de pe'ari. Well, the first day they gave him water that was that they had soaked some bran in. So it was just really water, but it had a little bit of nutrients in the water. And he was able to swallow it. Lumachar maya de sipuka. So they built it up. It's like, you can't give him too much if he has no stomach. It's going to It's like they say, these soldiers that came in, the American soldiers that came in to liberate the camps, so they thought they were doing a favor. They were bringing Hershey's chocolate bars and giving it to the Jews. And people got sick and died from that. They couldn't handle it. They didn't know this soda over here, this yisod about how to nurse a person back to health. They have to have what their stomach can handle first. So the next day, mayim de sipuka, mayim that they soaked some subin, some more bigger grain. Lemachar mayim de kimcha. Then they mixed some flour in the water the next day. Ad de ravach mayim till the stomach expanded, porta, little by little. That's a mashal also for how a person can expand in Ruchnius, that it's supposed to happen porta. That sometimes you see wholesale changes, and a person goes from one extreme to the other, you get very, very nervous. Because that's not a way to grow. The way to grow is porta. A person goes from one extreme to another, so very often it means that something's wrong. It means that, and not always, we shouldn't always judge people, but whatever. Hopefully the person has proper adracha. But sometimes you see, like a person, you know, he wasn't from at all, and now he's got payas and gartel, he's been learning in Eretz Yisrael for a week and a half. What? You know, like, it's not a sign of stability. It's not a sign of stability. So porta. Also, shaydu titus harasha, so they sent titus harasha to fight the war with Klal Yisrael. So Gemara Darshan's a number of psukim tell us just how awful Titus HaRasha was. Pasuk says, Va'amar Elohim Utsur Chasayuvam, that the enemy of Klal Yisrael is going to say, where is their God, where is their strong God that they look to and that they hope for? Zet Titus HaRasha. Who's the enemy that says, where's their God, how come he's not protecting them? That's Titus HaRasha. Shechir Efigidev Klapimayim. That he said that he denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. He said HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not there, he's not protecting Klal Yisrael, he's disappeared. Ma'asa, what did Titus HaRasha do? It's hard to even say the words. Tafa zona biyado, v'nichnas lebeis kadshei HaKadoshim. He took a zona, brought her into the kadshei HaKadoshim, v'itziya sefer Torah, he laid out a sefer Torah, v'avar aleha avera. And on top of the sefer Torah, he did the maisa avera. And he wasn't done yet. The Natal Sayev, he took a sword. The Gidaras HaParoches, he cut the Paroches. V'nasa Neis, a miracle out of the Yadam V'atzis Yotzi, the Paroches started to bleed. V'kasavar Haragas Atzman, Titus assumed that he killed HaKadosh Baruch. Shnam Rashagu Tzarecha Bekerav Mo'adecha. Some osos. That the Simanim are... He thought that this is a siman that he killed the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, the Lashon Haragas Atzma. That he thought Haragas Atzma, that's a Lashon Sagi Nahar Pashtus. That you can't say the words. But that he killed, we say it Sagi Nahar, that Haragas Atzma, that he killed himself. We say it in, sometimes we say negative things about Klal Yisrael, we say Soneim Shal Yisrael, the enemies of the Jewish people. We really mean the Jewish people. We're our own worst enemies sometimes. But we can't even say, Chazal don't even say the words. That's a Jewish thing. It's a Jewish thing. We don't refer to things that are too terrible to say. We believe that there's bris krusalis fasayim, that words matter a lot. And we shy away from saying words that are just too terrible. There's a reason. In Yiddish, it's yenemachlo. Everyone knows what it is, but it's in Yiddish, there's a lot of wisdom in Yiddish. That we just can't bring ourselves to say terrible things. So Abba Chanan Omer, Mi kamocha chasin ka, mi kamocha chasin v'kasha, sha'ato shomei an yitzu v'kidush shalos ha'rasha v'shosek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do you hold yourself back? You hear what this guy is saying and you don't do anything about it. You're shosek. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, mi kamocha be'ilim Hashem, mi kamocha be'ilmin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like an ilim, that he's not answering at all. He's shomeach herpaso ve'eino one. The Gemara says that that's a very great midah. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that someone who's shomeach herpaso ve'eino one is a very, very high madrega. that a person should be able to hear other people humiliate him and not respond right away. So we learn that from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We learn that from Hashem, that Hashem is Shomei Cherpaso, and he's Eina Ona on his own Cherpa. Ma'asa, so what did he do? Not also Parochas. Titzis Rosh takes the Parochas, so Kamin Gargusni, and he makes like a basket out of it. Vehevi kol kelim shav mikdash, he piles in all the kelim of the base of mikdash into this basket. Vinichon bahen voshivan besvina, and he puts all the kelim into the Parochas, he puts them on a boat, leilich lishtabech bi'iro, to go show off in the city. Look what I got. I got all the best stuff from the base of mikdash. It means that the Rishoyim gather together and they come from the Makom Migdash in order to be Mishtabeach, in order to take great credit in what they did to the Beis HaMikdash. It's amazing that as much as those who hate us view us as the lowly Jew, they don't really. Because their greatest shevach is when they're able to defeat the lowly Jew. Meaning, if we were mamish like a bug, if we were really nobody to them, so you don't come home screaming, "Wow, I was so powerful today! I squashed a bug." Their greatest shevach, the greatest, the feather in their cap. That's a 31 malachim that had Eretz Yisrael. How small was each malchus when Yeshua comes in? 31 malachim, how small is each malchus? So no, that's what the Mepharshim explained. That these were malachim from all over the world. But you weren't a real melech unless you had a place in Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to get any respect unless you have a place in Eretz Yisrael. They understand what Kedusha is. Have some understanding. That's where they're going to get their kavod. Some say that it should be read kavurim. Even the things that were normally hidden from the Jewish people were revealed to them. What was normally hidden from the Jewish people? The Arum, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No one ever saw the inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim. And during Bayasheni, he would normally die when he saw the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So this was not something that people saw. The Gemara tells us when they had to, the Mishnah tells us, when they had to do repairs on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's like any building, it's going to need repairs. They would lower the people into a box, and the box had a small window that you could only see out in the exact spot that you were fixing, but your eyes couldn't take in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This was too holy a sight for people to watch, for people to look at. That's the great tragedy of seeing someone of such a meshukat and a matuav that's able to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh and commit such terrible averos. That's the nevuah of Zechariah, right? That sholim holchubo. That the Kodesh HaKadosh, the holiest person can never go except for the holiest day of the year and the holiest garments. And even then, doing the holiest avodah, that's it. It's all... And now Shualim, there are foxes. We all saw the video, right? The foxes all over the Har HaBayis. Thought it was a chiddush. I thought that I never saw foxes around that area. I always see jackals around that area. I always assumed that Shualim must have meant jackals, but maybe it actually means foxes. There are actual foxes there. No, I'm not confident that I would know the difference between a fox and a jackal, but. Amar alav Nachshol Shebiyam Letovam. So this tsunami was going to drown him. Amar kamadumani shalohem shaleilu ein gvuras el b'mayim. Oh, their God is a God of water. Ba paro tiba b'mayim. Paro drowns at the Yamsuf. Ba sisra tiba b'mayim. By Nachal Kishon. Afu omer alay letoveni b'mayim. So he's coming to get me at the water. He believed that there was no that the Avodah Zarah was not Sholit Biyam. So he figured that where the Avodah Zarah doesn't have Shlita, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Shlita. That's what the Yerushalmi explains. So Im Gibor Hu Yalel Yabashav Yasi Mimelchama. If he's really a Gibor, let's see him fight me on dry land. So Yatza Baskel Armela, Rasha Ben Benosha, Leisav HaRasha. A Baskel comes out and says, Titus, you're a Rasha Ben Rasha. and you're a descendant of Esav HaRasha. Right? There was a Kabbalah that the Romans said that the Beis HaMikdash would fall to the Zara Shel Esav. So they sent Titus HaRasha because he was Zara Shel Esav. That's what the Marshal explained. You come from Esav HaRasha. Bria Kala Yeshli Balam. You want to do battle with me? On dry land? I have a tiny little creature, the Yitush Shema. It's called a Yitush. It's a little gnat, a Yatush. On my car, the Bria Kala. Why is it called the Bria Kala? De Ma'alona Isla. It has a mouth to eat, to take in food, but Umafkana Lesla. It has no way to excrete any waste out of its system. So it's got a basic design flaw, right? That's why it's a bria kala, that it's a design flaw in the creature. It's not able to expel any waste. So there are smaller things. There are kinim, there are lice that are smaller, but this is a bria kala because it has this design flaw. So what happened? So Ali Yabasha Vitasi Imam Al-Khama. I want you to come out to the Yabasha and you'll do, you don't have to fight war with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch says, I want you to do battle with this Bria Kala, with this tiny little insect. Ali Yabasha, Titus goes to Yabasha, Ba Yatush Vinichas Bechotmo, and this Yatush goes into his nose, Vinikar Bemocho Sheva Shanim, and starts pecking away at his brain for 7 years. Maralo is right, says Sheva, seven is a number of ribui. It's the highest number within Teva. Shmona is l'mayla min ha-teva. So the Yemos Olam live within Teva. So 7 years is ribui. That's a very intense amount of time. So it was extraordinarily painful. For him, yom echad hava kachalif habava debei nafcha. One day he was passing in front of the blacksmith. Shama kol arzavta. And he heard banging of the hammer. Ishtik, and all of a sudden the yatush stopped banging on his brain. So Amar, he says, Ika takanta, huh? There's a takana, there's a way to stop this. Kol yom ha-maisu nafcha, every day bring a blacksmith, umachu kamei, and let him bang in front of me, lenachri, yavlei, arba zuzei. If it was a non-Jew that came and did this, so he would pay him 4 zuz, li Yisrael, Amar lei, mistayach, de kachazis besana. And to a Jew, he wouldn't have to pay anything, because he would say, you're lucky that you get to see my downfall. You get to see me suffer. That should be enough payment for you that you get to see me suffer. There's a certain geschmack in getting to see your enemy suffer, so you don't need to be paid for that. So normally, like what happens if you live right near a construction area? Right? Imagine you wake up to hearing banging, banging, banging. So all the neighbors complain about that. That's the worst. That destroys the whole quality of life. And no one would ever want that. And he imagine how bad it was. This is what he needed. It's the only thing that would give him any menucha. That which takes away menucha from every other normal human being is the only thing that would give him menucha. So atlas niyomi avinachi, for 30 days this worked. Mikan ve'elach kiven to dash dash. The creature got used to it. Right, just like people get used to certain things and it becomes the new reality and we adjust. So the creature adjusted to the sound and was no longer shocked by the sound. That's nature. I remember in Keren Biavne, there used to be, there still is, a kibbutz right near the yeshiva. And when the wind, and there was like a chicken farm in the kibbutz, and when the wind would blow in a certain direction, the smell was like overwhelming. Like it was like if you weren't in the Beis Medrash, like blocked off from the smell, like it was really so one of the guys asked the posuk in the yeshiva, Rav Rubinstein, who had been there for 30 years, so he asked him, are you allowed to say a bracha when the wind is blowing from the kibbutz? And he said, why not? He said, the smell. He said, what smell? If you've been there for 30 years, it's what smell? You don't smell anything anymore. Even the dash, dash. But at a certain point, you get used to it. So that's resiliency, right? Human beings are resilient because we adjust to new realities. It's just the way we are. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us that sense of resiliency. So Tanya, Amar Pinchas ben Aruva, Ani Ayisi ben Gedolei Romi, I was amongst the Chashuvim of Rome, Ukshameis Pitzvas Mocho, and they did an autopsy on Titus when he died. They found like a bird, Mishkal Shnei Slotim, that weighed 2 Slotim. Meaning it started out the size of a gnat, but it kept on feeding off of his brain. B'masnisa Tana, and remember, it feeds, but it doesn't excrete. So the fact that it was able to, the nace was that it lived that long. Because you would imagine it would die, because if a being can't excrete anything, so it's going to die very soon. So it lived that long, and it just got bigger and bigger. B'masnisa Tana, kugozel ben shana, like a one-year-old bird, mishkal shnei litrin, that weighed 2 litrin. Shnei Slaim is symbolic of something, right? Shnei Slaim, the Gemara says that the Ksonas Pasim was Shnei Slaim Milas, that it was 2 Slaim of fine linen that the Ksonas Pasim was made out of. I wonder if there's a connection over here, that this bird Dafka weighed Shnei Slaim. I think they say that that's why it was Shnei Slaim Milas, because the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin, I think, that mila b'shtayim, mila b'sela, shtika b'shtayim. That if a word is worth a sela, shtika is very often worth 2 slotim. And I think the Achronim explained that Yaakov Avinu was trying to give a hint to Yosef by giving him the Ksanas Pasim of shtei slotim. That as valuable as your words are, all the lashonara you speak against your brothers and everything, all your sharing of your dreams and what you hope for and everything, shtika b'shtayim. You know, as valuable as your words are, shtika is probably more valuable. Sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut. That's the remez of the shtei slotim. The shtei slotim represents shtika. It represents the ability to not speak, which is very often more challenging than the ability to speak. So maybe that's the message over here, that Titus could have just kept his mouth shut. Right, what happens? A gal shel yam comes, and instead of saying, okay, Hashem, please stop, he says, this is the best you can do, only on the water? Let's see you fight me on dry land. Okay. So he got what he asked for. Maybe shtika would have been a little bit better for him in that situation. So he's got this bird of shtei slotim, mishkal shnei slotim. Amar abayi naktinan piv shel nechoshes v'tziporniv shel barzel. That its mouth was made out of nechoshes, and its fingernails that it clawed into his brain with were made out of barzel. The Maral writes that there are two types of hashchasa. There's hashchasa by force, by brute force, and there's ktsitsa, there's cutting into something. So both of those kochos of hashchasa happen to him. Piv shel nechoshes, nechoshes is very kasha, so it has the koach of a maka, like a hammer. And Tziporniv shel barzel, barzel is a knife, knives are made out of barzel. Barzel could be very sharp and could cut very quickly, as the koach of ktsitsa. So both of the ways of destroying something were attacking Titus's brain the whole time. That's the Maral right. So Kavakamayis, when Titus was going to die, Amar Luhu, he said to his people, the Kalyua Luhu Gavra, burn me, the Livdere Likitme Ashav Yami, and I want you to spread my ashes all over the 7 seas. The Leshche Allah Diyudayv Lukme Bedina, because I don't want that the God of the Jewish people is going to find me and he's going to make me stand in front of him for din. That's interesting. You would think that the one place he would not want to be scattered around is the Yam. Right? The Yam is the place that he believes is the only place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Shlita. And he says, send me over the Shiva Yamim. So now he's saying he doesn't have koach over the Shiva Yamim. That there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have Shlita over that. It's strange. Like he changed his whole Ashkafa. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu attacked him in the Yam, he said HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has Shlita in the Yam. Now that he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the last 7 years of his life miserable on the Yabasha, so it must be that he only has Shlita b'Yabasha. What happened at the Yam was a coincidence. So the Yam, he's not going to get me. He's not going to get me by the Yam. I don't know. That's a little bit. That's the way people are sometimes. But, whatever, we already decided what the MS is, and then we just have to fit circumstances of life into what, you know, into what we've already decided. So he's already decided what it is. So he thinks that's how he's going to avoid the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, I'm just seeing in the Masifta over here, they quote the Mitzudas David asked this Kasha. That he asked this Kasha, that he's the one that said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Shlita over the Yad. So he says, Titus didn't believe in Hasharas HaNefesh and Tchias HaMesim. He holds less din for less dayan. So he was saying that even if I go to his makom, you know, taunting HaKadosh Baruch Hu even further, even if I go to his makom, the place where he has Shlita, but not after death, nothing happens after death. Okay, it sounds like there's more lahachas. I mean, I guess that is lahachas. But again, it's seven seeds. Ribui. That he wants to be all over the world. So, the Gemara tells us again more about Titus HaRasha. Unculus bar kolonikus, bar achde de Titus Hava. He also had a nephew. Boy legure, and he wanted to be Megayer. Azul aski le Titus benegida. So he brought up Titus using Ov, one of the these spiritual forces that could bring up spirits, and you know you can communicate with the dead. So he said, "Man chashavu alma, who are the most chashav people in Olam Haba?" Amarle Yisrael. He said, "The Jewish people are the most chashav." So he said, "Umalid buke buhu, is it kedai to be megayer?" Amarlu milayu nefishin, they have a lot of mitzvos. V'lo mitzvos l'kiyum minhu, I don't think you're going to be able to handle it. You got to observe 613 mitzvahs if you're Megayim. Zil igribu ba'u alma v'avis reisha. But I'll tell you some etza. Stay what you are and just make their lives miserable in this world, and then you'll be the most respected person. Because the biggest anti-Semites, at least you'll have your Olam Hazeh. You know, Olam Haba you're not going to have, at least you have your Olam Hazeh. D'chsiv hayut sarech al l'rosh. Kol ha-meitzer li-Yisrael, nasa l'rosh, anyone who causes tzaros for Klal Yisrael becomes the Rosh. Tosos Mesech Chagiga says that's by design. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be a terrible bizayon to Klal Yisrael if the people that taunted us and persecuted us were lowlifes. So not only the greatest of Malchios persecute us, have the kach to persecute us. So by persecuting us, they become the greatest of Malchios, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want such a bizayon to Klal Yisrael. That's what Tosus writes. Other explanations also. Yeah, others say that by taunting Klal Yisrael, even Yaakov writes, it causes Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards everyone for every good thing that they do. So if they were the cause of Klal Yisrael do tshuva, so they're going to get some covet in this world. Yeah. That's obviously shalom b'kavana. The kavana is not to get us to do tshuva. So that's a question. When you do something that's fundamentally an avera, it's something good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach skal kobriya is even on that. Even when you're trying to do an avera, but something good comes from it. I don't know. So Amalei Dina du Gavra B'mai. So he said, I wonder what it's like for you in that world. What's happening up there or down there? So Amalei, so Tito said to his nephew, B'mai de Pasuk Anavshe, Kol Yoma Mechanshi Le Likitmi, V'dayani Li V'kolu Li M'vadri Hashav Yami. It's exactly what I paskined on myself should happen is happening to me. I mean, I said that they should burn me and spread my ashes over seven seas, because then Hashem won't be able to judge me. So they're gathering my ashes together, putting me back together again, judging me, and then paskining that I should be burnt and spread all over the seven seas again. So like they keep putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, and then they keep on spreading him all over there. So that's my punishment. Obviously symbolic of the fact that we make our own bed. Meaning, whatever happens to us, it's a direct result of what we do. It's a direct result of our actions. And we don't always see it, we rarely see it play out in this world, but that's the way things happen. Azul aske the Bilam b'negida. So then he uses Ov, and he wants to have a conversation with Bilam, this Unkelus. So Amalei, so Unkelus asks Bilam, Man chashubu alma, who are the most chashub people up there? Amalei, Yisrael, the Jewish people are the most chashub. Malid bukebu, is it a good idea to be Megayer? Amalei, lo tidur shlomo v'tavasim kol hayamim. Don't look for their good at all. Amalei, dine du gavra b'mai. How's it going for you? Amalei, b'shichvazera rotachas. I'm burning and boiling shichvazera. obviously a mita keneged mita, meaning when Bilam's cursing didn't work out, he was unable to curse Klal Yisrael, so he gave the Eitzah to be machshil Klal Yisrael in Arayos, and with the Benos Moav, and because of that, so his punishment is with Shichva Zera Rotachas. But it also shows you, like, when a person comes to a conclusion, you know, even on their deathbed, even after death, they still stick by their, you know, there are people that are liars that will lie on their deathbed. What do they gain by lying on it? That's what they do. That's how they know. That's how they live their whole life. A lot of times people think, you know, that they'll do tshuva right before they die. Some people do, but it's not easy. People think, oh, it's easy, because if I know that I'm dying, then it'll be easy to do tshuva. I don't care about money anymore. I don't care about any of my taivas anymore. But if your whole life you lived a certain way, it's not easy to just start talking differently and acting differently and thinking differently. So these people, even after they die, they're still saying that that Klal Yisrael should be attacked. Azal Aske B'Negida L'Poshe Yisrael. Then he called up the Jewish people who were not well-behaved Jews to talk to them through oath. Amr Lay, so he asked him, Man Chashubu Alma, who's Chashub in that world? Amr Lay, Yisrael, the Jewish people are. Malud Bukibu, is it a good idea to connect to them? Amr Lay, Tovasam Drosh Ra'asam Lo Tidrosh. Only look for good for them, don't look for anything bad for them. Kol Anogea Behem, anyone who touches the Jewish people, Kilu Nogea Bivavas Eino, it's like touching the inside of your eye. It's only going to hurt you. Amarlei, Dine Du Gavra B'mai. So he said, okay, what's it like for you, Poshe Yisrael? Amarlei B'tsoa Rotachas. In Tsoa, in excrement, boiling excrement. First of all, it's interesting, Bahu Gavra, it was Poshe Yisrael. It wasn't a Poshea, L'charu was a whole group. So that's what Agos V'Tziyunim says, that the old print was Yeshu HaNotzri. They took it out. For the censor, they couldn't have Yeshu HaNotzri in there, but that's who the Poshe Yisrael is. So the Poshe Yisrael says, you know, don't touch the Jewish people. You don't mess with the Jewish people. You know, help them out, help them make Aliyah, do whatever, you know. But he's Bitzor Rotach. Someone who's malig al divrei chachamim, someone who mocks the words of the chachamim, is nidon with boiling tzava. Tzava obviously represents that which stinks, right? So I don't know why that's specifically malig al divrei chachamim. He's going to have eternal stinking. I don't know. Yeah. I guess the Chacham help us sort out is the klipa from the ochel. But sometimes there are ideas that are out there, but you know, certain applications of the idea are beyond what Torah life is, and certain parts of the certain applications of the idea are very much the core of what we do. So a lot of the teachings of Yeshu HaNotzri are based on certain very Jewish ideas, but in applied in ways that are way beyond, way outside of what the Divrei Chachamim would say. So that which should be discarded, that which is the waste product, had become the Ikr. So Tzor HaTachas. Tachazi, which is unusual, that's a Yerushalmi Dikalashon. The Bavli always says Tashema. Yerushalmi says Tachazi. Tachazi means come and see. Ma bein Poshe Yisrael and Viei Umos Ha'olam of the Avodah Zarah. Look at the difference between Poshe Yisrael, that they at least give Eitzah to do good with the Jewish people, as opposed to the Nevi'im of the Umos Ha'olam, that even when they die, they're still saying to do things keneged the Jewish people, to do things to hurt the Jewish people. Because Poshe Yisrael have a neshama tahora. It's just that in this world they were not to the rishos, but in Olam Haba, the rishos goes away. So the neshama tahora, the core, comes out again. It's like the pintaliyid comes out. like the Rambam in Hilchus Gerishin. When you're kofad shiyom erotz ani, because his real ani wants to do the right thing, you just have to peel away all the layers till you get to the real ani. Eino demchotei alam kei nichlas baruach shtus. The shota is out of his mind. So a person who does haveros, poshei soul, they're acting out of their minds. That's not who they are. Who they are is a neshama tahara. And that ultimately is going to come out. That neshama tahara ultimately will express itself. Tanya Amra Blazabore Kabakdola Kochashal Busha. Shaisiya Krishborhu is Bar Kamtsa, the Echris base of Asar of Sechal. Finishing up the story of Bar Kamtsa finally. Look at the Koach of Busha. That Krishborhu helped out Bar Kamtsa, that the Bala Suda was Mevayishim, and because of that Busha, Krishborhu was Tovea Elbono, defended him. To the tune of destroying his Heichal. The Gemara in Yuma, of course, says Sinas Chinam. This Gemara is not disagreeing. It's Yaakovin point Zev Zedara. Right? That was Dafka, the Churban Beis Hamikdash was Mishambusha. Someone who's Mevayish, a person, is Malbin Aspanav, is Pogea and Tzelem Elokim. If a person can embarrass another human being, another Jew in particular, that means he doesn't appreciate Kedusha. It's a lack of appreciation of Kedusha. It's a very important Musar also. And sometimes we just don't appreciate Kedusha. In last week's parasha we read that the Bnei Gad, Bnei Ruvain, what was their big deal? They said, we just want to stay in the Ever HaYarden. It makes sense for us. It's makom for us. It's makom for our cattle. And the Midrashim say, totally L'Shem Shemayim, that they did it L'Shem Shemayim. Those of Shem Shemayim, they were very makzela, that they had a lot of small animals. They didn't want them grazing in other people's fields. So this was a place where there were no other people. It would just be these two shvatim. Later, another half a shevet was sent to be with them, but it would just be these two shvatim. And they would avoid all sorts of gezel. And it would be good. And if you ever need us, we're a phone call away. Just call us up, tell us if you need us to fight. We'll be there in a minute. No problem. It was all Shem Shemayim. But what was the problem? There was greater Kedusha on the other side of the Yarden, on the Eretz Yisrael side of the Yarden. Whatever cheshbonos they had, they were willing to sacrifice Kedusha. They probably didn't value the Kedusha to the extent that they should have. What is it, that Bikurim can only be brought from the other side of the Yarden, not from that side of the Yarden? Whatever the levels of the minute differences of level of Kedusha, they just didn't appreciate that Kedusha. So a person embarrasses another Jew, it means that he's not appreciating a certain Kedusha that's there. He's not appreciating that this person is also in the Neshama Torah. This person is also at Tzelem Elokim. And there's a great Kedusha in Tzelem Elokim. So tzaddikim are able to, to respect people. Why? Why do they have to respect people who haven't accomplished nearly as much as they accomplished? Because they respect that this is a Tzelem Elokim. And therefore there's something fundamentally there to respect. It's a great appreciation of Kedusha. That's the story Elisha Graf just told me, that my father-in-law sent him a maisa with, I think it was the Kedusha Arim, that someone was staring at the Kedusha Arim. He's like looking at him. And Kedusha Arim says, what are you doing? And the guy says, well, it says that if you look at the face of a tzaddik, it will have ashpa on you. So I'm looking at the face of a tzaddik, hoping that it will have ashpa on you. So the sherim said, Amich kulam tzaddikim. Look in the mirror. We're all tzaddikim. Look in the mirror, you'll see Kedusha there. You have to appreciate Kedusha wherever it is. Sometimes a person has to look at himself. Sometimes a person fails because a person fails to see his own Kedusha. They feel like they're nothing, and therefore they live down to that. They live down to the nothing that they believe that they are. I think Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky is fond of saying, when people ask him, how did you have time to write 80 books? It sounded like 80 books. He said, I didn't write 80 books. I wrote one book. The one book that said about the importance of self-confidence. And I just wrote it in 80 different ways. This time I wrote it in Chassidus HaMaislach, that time I wrote it in psychological jargon, that time I wrote it, I just wrote it in 80 different ways. But it's all just about appreciating who you are, appreciating the Kedusha of what a person is. There's that beautiful story with Rav Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Stories with the Rebbe are like, they're wild. It's, you know, especially when you hear them from non-Hasidim. You know, from the Hasidim, you always say, okay, Hasidim see what they want to see in their own Rebbe, you know? So Rabbi Weinreb was, when he was younger, was deciding, does he want to pursue a career in psychology or does he want to pursue Rabbanus? So he wasn't sure which one he was going to focus on. He ended up doing both. So he called the Rebbe for advice. He called up on the phone. And the secretary answered the phone. And he said, I have this struggle in my life. He didn't identify who he was. I would just like to get Eitzah from the Rebbe. Would it be possible to talk to the Rebbe? So the secretary goes, Rabbi Weinreb tells the story. The secretary goes, comes back to the phone and he says, the Rebbe said that there's a Jew in Baltimore named Weinreb. You should talk to him. He says, I am Weinreb. I'm the Jew in Baltimore. I'm Weinreb. So he says, oh, okay. He asked the Rebbe. So he goes back to the Rebbe and he comes back to the phone and he says, the Rebbe says sometimes a person needs to talk to himself. He said, it was the best advice I ever got. I needed to look inside of myself. So the person thinks you're going to speak to this person, that person, they're going to tell you how to live your life. You just have to appreciate that you have what to say also. And he figured out based on that what to pursue. I have no idea what to make of that story. That's like, it's beyond me. So that was all one story, the Gemara says. Second story, Atarnagol v'Tarnagolasa. Oh, got late. Okay. Atarnagol v'Tarnagolasa, Charev Tur. I took a nap today. I don't know if anyone. Okay. Atarnagol v'Tarnagolasa, Charev Tur Malka. Because of Atarnagol and Atarnagolas, Tur Malka was destroyed. Hara Melech was destroyed. Davanihiki kafu mafki chasan v'kalasa. The minhag was when they would take out a chasan and a kala to their chuppah. Mafki kamayu tarnagol v'tarnagolasa. They would bring out a tarnagol and a tarnagolas as a, you know, as a good simon. Kolomar, as if to say, pruravu k'tarnagolim. That you should have pruravu like tarnagolim. Elsewhere, Chazal tell us that tarnagolim are engaged in pruravu. The Gemara says that tamidei chacham shnapi mitzuyin etzel noshoseim k'tarnagolim. That they shouldn't be constantly having tashma shamita, indulging themselves, and they use the lashon of tarnagolim, like tarnagolim. But a young chasan and kala, you want them to have puravu, so dafka tarnagolim. And dafka tarnagol would be the symbol of a person, because that's tarnagol is a gever, right? That's why we use, the minigists use tarnagol for kaparos, because it's a gever, so a gever means a man also, right? That's what the Gaonim already explained. That Dafka used a tarnagol because it's a gever. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. Rabbi Gamliel was darshaning that one day, asida isha shetelet b'chol yom, that a woman is going to be able to give birth every single day. So one of the Talmidim started mocking him. What do you mean a woman will give birth every day? Ain't kol chadash tachas hashemesh. So he said, I'll show you how that already exists in this world. So he showed him a tarnagolas. Tarnagolas has such a kach of piri v'rivya that it lays an egg every day. So that's why the Anshei Tur Malka were motzi a tarnagol and a tarnagolas dafka, to show the koach of puruvu. It's a simen tov of puruvu. That's the understanding. The Gemara says, Eisha ela lebanim, that a woman is for the sake of banim. So people translate that incorrectly, and they say it means that the only value of a woman is to be able to provide children. That is not what the Gemara means, because it's just not true. What it obviously means is that the primary value of marriage is the ability to raise a family. And sometimes a couple is so in love with each other, they're only interested in delaying raising a family. They just want to spend time together and play house together. But the proper Torah Ashkafa is that the primary goal of marriage is to be able to raise a family together. There's also great value in a loving relationship. There's great value in being able to trust somebody and confide in somebody and being there to protect somebody. There's great value in all of those things. There's great value in romantic love. That's a human thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the Bria. There's great value in all of those things. As they say, someone asked Yaakov Kamenetsky, what does Bashert mean? He said, I think, how do they say it in English? Falling in love, I think is how they say it in English. Right? So there's great value in all of those things. But when a couple gets married, the proper hashkafa is that should be simanim of pruruvu. So yom achad, one day, they were taken out the tarnagol and the tarnagolas and took the chasen and kala v'kachal of gundu d'romai. And a troop, a legion of Roman troops was passing by, Shaklinu Minai, when they took the Tarnagolim. Nafal Alayim. So the Jewish people said, we want our Tarnagolim back. So Machunu. So they hit them. Asu Amrle the Kesar. So the Romans told the Kesar on them. Mordubach Yudai said, the Jews are rebelling against you. So Asu Alayim, the Kesar came to battle Tormalka. Hava Bahu, amongst the Jews in Haram Melech was Hahu Bar Droma, a person who was named Bar Droma, Dava Kafetz Mila. He used to be able to jump great distances, a whole meal, V'katal Behu, and he would kill Romans. He was a powerful person. Shatla Keso Letage, he took the Kesar took his crown, V'osvei Aran, he put it on the ground, Amar Ribori Dal Mekule, Master of the Universe, Inichalach, Lo Timsrelu Gavra, Lididei Lamalchusei, Biyade Dechad Gavra. He says, Hashem, if it's good for you, don't give me over and my entire Malchus in the hands of one person. That they have this, you know, this one guy that's able to do these incredible things. So the Kesar was machnia himself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's the symbolism of taking off the crown. So I realize I'm not the real king. There's a king that's calling the shots here, and it's not me. But, you know, it's chaval, you know, like you come, you have a basketball team, and all of your players are solid players, and the other team is a bunch of misfits, but they have that one guy that took like that magic potion, you know, like from the movies or something, and he's like, you know, and he's able to win the whole thing. So actually, Pumi le Bar Droma, the mouth of the Bar Dorum caused him to speak Shaloka again. Va'amar, and he said, Halo ata Elokim z'nachtanu v'lo tzeitzi Elokim b'tzivo seinu. We don't need the help of Hashem in our wars. We'll win without it. And the classic Kolchi Votzim Yadi. So says the Gemara, David Nami Amar Hachi. It shouldn't be so terrible. David said something very similar. So David, Atmui Kametama. When David said it, it was B'loshem Bitmiha. Like, do we think we do everything ourselves? But this guy was saying it seriously. So the punishment of this Bar Droma, Allah Beis Hakisei, he went to the bathroom. Asa Darkona, a certain snake came, Shamte Lekarkashe, and tore out his intestines, Benach Nafshe, and he died. Amar Holvis Rakshli Nisa Hazimna, so the Kesar said, since such a miracle happened for me, Ishavkinu, I'll leave the Jewish people alone, I'm not going to battle them, Shavkinu Vazal. So he left. Izdakur, the Jewish people started dancing. They were celebrating the victory. They lit candles. Adis Chazi Bil Yoga Dugushpanka Barachok Mila. The place lit up so much that you could see the candles that were lit. They could see it. The people, the Kesar's people, were able to see it a meal away. Amar Michta Kachadbi Yudai. Now they're taunting me. Now they're celebrating like that. That's not appropriate. Even when we're right, it's not appropriate. Even when we have reason to celebrate. A person has to realize when there's an enemy around or when there are other people around and how that's going to be perceived. A lot of times Jews and Galus are so eager to present our understanding of events and our appreciation of what's happening. We have to remember that we're Jews in Galus, that we're in Galus. When the Notre Dame was burning, there's a good reason for Jews to think back at the history of that spot and appreciate the divine justice of something like that. It's probably not a great idea to go on social media and start celebrating something like that. We're still in Galus. We don't go taunting when we're in Galus. We quietly observe. In our tefillos, we talk to the Rabbanu Shalom. But you don't go taunting when you're in galus. So hadar asalai. So the Kesar came right back to fight them. This is the way they're going to behave. Amra biyasi tlas mea alfi shlifi saifa. 300,000 chayalim with swords drawn. Ailu tormalka came up to Haramelech. Lekatlu beit tlasi yomi tlasi lelasa. And they spent 3 days and three nights just killing. Ubahach gisa hilule b'chigi v'lavi yadi hani bahani. So on one side of the mountain there was a massacre going on the other side they were still celebrating. They didn't even realize what was happening on the other side of the mountain. Bila Hashem v'locham al eskol na'os Yaakov kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Elu shishim ribo ayaros. These were 600,000 cities. Shoyul al Yanei HaMelech b'Har HaMelech that Yanei HaMelech had in Har HaMelech. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu wiped them out. He didn't have Rachmanis. Each of these 600,000 cities had the amount of people, 600,000 people like Yotzi Mitzrayim, chutz mishalosh, except for three of them, shayiben kiflayim kiyotzi Mitzrayim, that had twice the amount of Yotzi Mitzrayim. Ve'elim kfar bish, kfar shechlayim, kfar dichrayim. So it seems like it's speaking b'lashon guzma, right? There's no mountain anywhere that can house that many people. But on the other hand, Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz HaTzvi. So Chazal tells us, why is it called an Eretz HaTzvi, the land of the deer? Because a deer is such a muscular animal, it looks like that ein oro machzik es besara, that it's wearing a skin that's too small on it. Its skin expands to be able to hold in all of the all of its muscle and its flesh that's underneath its skin. Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz HaTzvi. Now we wonder, isn't there going to be a population problem if Klal Yisrael, imagine that picture of that 104-year-old Holocaust survivor that you saw, right, that everyone saw on the internet, right? So what did she have, 350, 400, whatever the number was, however many descendants, right? So imagine we don't have constant persecution and we're each able to do that. So what's the plan? Like, Eretz Yisrael's not that big. How's it going to be able to, there's already a housing crisis. Yeah, you buy anything yet? I mean, it's crazy. No one could afford anything in Eretz Yisrael. It's already a housing crisis. But it's an Eretz HaTzvi. We believe that the land will expand and there will be room for more people than we can imagine. So,
plenty of empty land.
It still needs to be developed.
Wondering why you should have removed plenty of empty land.
So Kfar Bish Loyavi Besalush Biza. Kfar Bish was called, Bish means ra, means bad. That they didn't help out any guests. And that's always a very anti-Jewish thing. That's an Anshei Sodom kind of thing. The Jewish people are Rachmanu Baishanim V'Gomel Chasadim, and the classic Nils Chesed is Hachnas Zorchim. We have Takanos of Chazal that way. There are still shuls. Ada Yom Hazeh, that say Kiddush on Friday night in Shul. Where does that come from, to say Kiddush on Friday night in Shul? Because it used to be the minhag that if a guest would come to town, they would have a meal for them in Shul. That Shul would provide them a place to sleep, place to eat, so they needed Kiddush Makom Suda. So that's where the minhag came from, to say Kiddush in Shul. So just because the guests no longer eat and sleep in Shul, doesn't mean we don't take care of them anymore. A lot of times people make a mistake. They think Achnas Azarchim is they hang out with their friends. That's not a chnasas archim. That's adult. That's nice. It's good to have a chaver tov. It's good to have good friendships. That's not a chnasas archim. A chnasas archim is not when, they hosted me, now I'm going to host them, and you're keeping score, and exactly, or these are the people I enjoy hanging out with, so I'm going to hang out with them because they're the ones I enjoy to talk to. A chnasas archim is when someone needs a place. I was once in that position. I was once, when I was, I don't know, maybe 20 years old. I was like an assistant youth director in a shul in the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And there was someone that was supposed to be in charge of setting up my sleeping and eating arrangements. And they set up my sleeping arrangements, and they set up a meal for me for Shabbos lunch. They forgot about Friday night. And I found out like a minute before Shabbos that they forgot about Friday night. I had no idea what I was going to do. I mean, I figured I would just walk in the park or something, get mugged, I don't know, for a few hours, and then come back to the place that I was sleeping and pretend that I had eaten somewhere, because I had nowhere to go, I wasn't going to impose myself on anyone. So I davened in the Jewish center at night, and Rabbi J.J. Shachter was the rabbi of the Jewish center at the time, and his minhag was, probably still is the minhag in the Jewish center, because minhagim there don't change so fast, and his minhag was that they still wear the top hats and the coats, I think, you know, like that. So his minhag was that when you leave shul Friday night, he stands, he doesn't stand up by the bima, he at the very end of davening, he races back to the door in the back of the shul, and the only way out is to pass by the rabbi to say hello. So you have to, everyone has to say good Shabbos on the way out. So as I was walking out, he said good Shabbos, and he said, do you have where to eat tonight? I don't know how he knew to ask the question. I said, actually, no. So I ended up eating at his house. That's a chnas sarchim, right? A person doesn't have where to go. I still have a nice kesher with him from that time. But that's Achlos Sarchim. This was called Kfar Bish. They didn't have Achlos Sarchim. Kfar Shechlayin. Shaisa Parnasasun Min Shechlayin. There's a certain food called Shechlayin. That's where they made their Parnasa. Some type of vegetable. even though it was a massive town, they all made their Parnasa from the one thing. It was like a one industry, you know. It's like the auto industry in Detroit, you know, when it went kaput, the whole city goes away. So like the whole, there's the one industry that they had in the whole town. Kfar Dechraya, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Shein Nosh Sein, Yoldos Zecharim Tchila, Yoldos Nekeva Ba'achrona, Uposkos. They used to have, amazingly, male children first, then female children, then they stopped, and they didn't have any more children. That's not a good thing. The Gemara in Babasa tells us that Bas Tchila Simen Yafa Laban. And having a firstborn daughter is a simen yafa to having children. So in this kfar, even though there were so many people, they didn't have a good simen of pruravu. Meaning the simen yafa of pruravu is a bas tchila. So the question, why that is? Why is a bas tchila a simen yafa lebanon? So some say because when your oldest is a girl, so girls are usually much more inclined to help out with the younger children. So it'll be much easier to have a large family when your oldest is a girl. If your oldest is a boy, he's going to be off with his friends or in yeshiva or whatever. He's not helping at all. So how are you going to have all these little kids when you have boys who are totally, at best, you know, unhelpful? But when you have a bas tchila, that's a simen yafa laban. That's one interpretation. What was the other interpretation of bas tchila, simen yafa laban? I remember the nafkamina was if you have twins. Boy and a girl, and the older one is a boy. Conal Gralla said this at his son's bris. He had his oldest were twins, and there was a son and a daughter. I think the older one was the boy. So we wanted to know, is this still a simen yafa labanim? I've got what the other pshat was. Okay, whatever it was. So they didn't have this simen yafa. However it was a simen yafa, they didn't have this simen yafa. And still they had so many people, so it was an anomaly. So Amar Ulu, the Didi Chazilei, who asked me, he said, I saw that place, Vafilu Shitin Rabba Sakani Lo Machzik. You couldn't fit 600,000 reeds in that place. There isn't space for 600,000 blades of grass. I don't know what they're talking about, 600,000 people. That would be crazy. Amar Ulu Tzuki, the Rabbi Hanina, a certain Tzuki said to Rabbi Hanina, Shakuri Meshakrisu, you're a bunch of liars that you say that Har HaMelech had so much space. Amalei, this is where I remember the Eretz Tzvi. Eretz Tzvi k'sivba. It says that Eretz Yisrael is called an Eretz Tzvi. Ma Tzvi zeh ein oro machzik es besaro. Af Eretz Yisrael b'zman she yoshven ala, ravcha b'zman she ein yoshven ala gamda. When the Jewish people move to Eretz Yisrael expands. When the Jewish people are not in Eretz Yisrael shrinks. Meaning Eretz Yisrael is mat'im to Klal Yisrael. It's a very important yisod. That it's made for Klal Yisrael. History tells us that Eretz Yisrael thrives when Klal Yisrael is there, it does not thrive when Klal Yisrael is not there. But it's built to fit the needs of Klal Yisrael, both physically and spiritually. And it will adjust to fit Klal Yisrael. Just like when you have a shidduch, when you have one person that's matim for another person, so they adjust. They become more... over time, if it's working well, they adjust, make small adjustments in their life in the way they are to accommodate the person that they're with, to make life more livable and manageable for the person that they're with. So that's what Eretz Yisrael does for Klal Yisrael. Okay, maybe we should stop here. We didn't get that far, but maybe we should stop here because we still have tomorrow.
Okay.